gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I need to put on a full body condom. Speaking of contraception, he's right here next to me.
It's Fugelsang.
Good morning. I'm already wearing my full body condom for the folks out there in Radio Land.
It's too much. The sexy liberaldom in this close up.
I got the snuggy full body condom, so it has armholes when I wear
John
it.
John Fugelsang's live in the LA studio all 3 hours.
Good morning, children. It's so nice to see your beautiful faces again instead of being all by myself in the little Boo Radley suite all you put me in normally.
In New York. It's a sexy liberal explosion.
Why?
And what, Chris? What kind of a chick am I? I'm like John Fugelsang. I saw him at Kern. He was weird to me. He wasn't talking to me.
That's so
he
not
was
true.
Talking more to Sandra Bernhardt.
Did she really say that? I had a sex scene. I did a movie with Sandra Bernhardt where we had a sex scene.
Wow. Really?
It was the first movie I ever did, and I was like 9 years old, and this is back in like the mid '90s, and
the prince of comedy, right?
Oh my God. Well, that was the thing. The whole time I'm doing it, she's writhing around in my lap, and all I can think of is her in her underwear with Jerry Lewis. It was incredible. I couldn't even focus on staying
like,
in character.
Lady, get off my lap.
So yeah, but I'm showing up at the Young Turk studio to I was guest hosting their web show, The Point, which is now available on YouTube. And I see Stephanie Miller hopping out of a car, and I'm getting to hang out with Steph. And then they say, John, come in this office for 1 second and talk about your topics. And I didn't see Stephanie again.
I pitched his ass.
And when I came out,
desperately trying to get his attention in front of
Stephanie. She really did too. She goosed me in front of the entire staff.
Mm. Oh,
and you know them. That's all they do is gossip and that. You know why all those people are sitting at computers on Young Turks? They're all just IMing about each other and how much they hate each other. And I walk out, and then suddenly Stephanie's gone, and Sandra Bernhardt's there.
Exactly. Someone had replaced me with Sandra Bernhardt crystals. And let's watch the fun.
She looked at me, and she's like, where do I know you from? And I said, we had sex together in a movie 12 people saw.
What movie?
So it's called Somewhere in the City, and Peter Stormare is also in it, and a lot of New York character actors are in it. And
wow.
I'm in it for 30 seconds.
Speaking of romance, kids, let's go back to 1952, where old white men tell jokes about sexist joke about chicks and contraception, and Daryl Issa has a hearing on women's health and doesn't let any women testify. Oh, it's so great.
Chicks know about that.
Skirts. Dames.
I've liked Foster Free since he was Don Draper's immediate supervisor.
Yeah, this was just the look on Andrea Mitchell's face. Okay, let's listen.
This contraceptive thing, my gosh, it's such inexpensive. You know, back in my days, they used bare aspirin for contraceptives. The gals put it between their knees, and it wasn't that costly.
Oh, the gals.
excuse me, I'm just trying to catch my breath from that, Mr. Fries, frankly.
good one. I got her.
He just sat there looking like, well, that was clever, wasn't it? Huh?
So I don't think we need condoms in school
not
anymore.
Believe how the guys in my country club bust a gut in 1952 when I first told that. That was... So gals
and now
just
bring
keep
it.
Their
and, then he, and then when they were done, he said, bring in the whores.
Yeah. He did not, Jonathan.
No, he did not say that. No.
Wow, that was really, that was quite stunning. Thank God Mike and Raleigh has a tribute to it.
This weekend, Foster Freeze invites you and the kids to come out to Frothy Freeze and have a nice frothy burger or frothy chili dog. And for dessert, top it off with a frothy blizzard or a frothy sundae with nuts. After dinner, stop by next door for frothy paintball. We'll see you this weekend at Frothy Freeze.
Oh, what hath Dan Savage wrought?
They are punking us, aren't they? Did you see the paintball commercial with the Mitt Romney lookalike shooting Santorum at Santorum?
I did not. I have been in L.A. all week. And
seriously?
I haven't seen a TV all week.
No, it was a Santorum ad. It was approved by Rick Santorum and paid for by Santorum.
And it's a Romney lookalike shooting?
Yes.
It's supposed to be a thing about mudslinging, but it's literally brown liquid
Santorum
that he's shooting at him.
On Santorum.
I thought is this Funny or Die? And it was like, no, it,
that's
what?
That's why he wears the brown sweater vest.
We think too many parental controls on the Santorum headquarters computers, because clearly still no one has Googled.
And now, now he's saying Foster Freeze told bad joke, it says on CNN right now. And it's pretty funny, because if you're Rick Santorum, you have to be pretty diplomatic when you're talking about the sexist comments of the man who owns you.
Yes, particularly when you are a bad joke. When you are Rick Santorum, it's hard to distinguish.
You know, and I'm so glad that more and more people are Googling Santorum and understanding what the frothy thing means and from whence it comes. Because Rick Santorum is to Christianity what Jesus is to equating consensual adult same-sex relationships with bestiality, which he didn't do.
No.
Now, if Rick Santorum had stood for fighting poverty, that's what you'd see when you Googled him. If he had stood for fighting war, like for peace,
or
you'd
anything
see that
Jesus
when you Googled
him.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's not what he stood up for.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing when they say, oh, it's just a joke. Santorum personally opposes contraception. He has pledged to lecture women on the dangers of birth control if elected president, and he thinks states should have the right to outlaw it. So it's not just a joke.
Wow. But a lot of liberals say he wants to ban it, and that's not true. He hasn't actually tried to ban it. He says he thinks states should have the right to ban it.
Sure, sure.
But he said he personally wouldn't ban it.
Well, he should be a fan of men on dog sex. No contraception.
Exactly. You don't even need a bear for that. That's, you know.
A bear?
Aspirin.
Huh? Oh.
Okay.
Different. The aspirin. You thought I meant
a bear.
The animal.
Yeah.
No.
Well, no, I thought you meant the subculture.
Yeah,
yes.
Big hairy gay man.
I live on Christopher Street. I know my bears.
We're all confused now. What?
You lived on Christopher Street? Wow, you must have been popular.
I live on Christopher Street now.
Wow.
Plus he's the straight guy that literally takes his cats out in a stroller for a walk.
Yes,
I mean, really?
Yeah, and you know, the only people who hate that are heterosexual men. Gay guys love it, women, children, old people, European tourists,
great.
But this heterosexual guys, the hell is that?
How do you keep them in the stroller?
They're wearing a harness and a leash.
Sure.
Look, here's the thing. If you have cats, I hate having to justify my life. If you have cats.
We have five.
If you have cats and you move back to New York City and your cats have to live in New York City, they need stimulation.
Yes.
They need to get out of the house.
They need to see
you
some
can't
theater.
Have
That's
a,
what a windowsill is for.
You can't have no crazy cats in a tiny little Anne Frank shoebox place like I live in. The Anne Frank family, yeah, they had it tough in that apartment, absolutely. But, you know, Mr. Van Dan never had to change a litter box. That's all I'm saying. Meep never had to come in and bring more liner, okay? So what else?
I'm just dealing with my cat allergies. I have like an air cleaner. It looks like the runway at LAX. I just have like giant air cleaners everywhere.
Oh, I've got this little incubus thing for it. I've got to buy those things. I'm going to have like 9 of them in my apartment. It's horrible. But you have to watch my cat from hell. It will solve all your cat problems.
All right.
Telling you. She's going to watch that show and book that crazy guy on here as a guest.
His name, Justin Galaxy?
Jackson Galaxy.
Okay.
Jackson Galaxy?
Yeah, man.
Really?
My cat from hell. It's the show. I keep telling you.
It's people with pussy problems.
Mm-hmm.
Different.
He actually helps pussies with people problems.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ball sex as well? All right. So, I don't know who to give the sexist of the day award to. It's a close between Daryl Issa, well-known car thief, insurance defrauder.
Daryl Issa actually deserves
steroid
it more.
User, allegedly.
Daryl Issa deserves it more just to draw attention to his specialness.
That was, I mean, it's hilarious. He had a women's health hearing at which he allowed no women to testify.
He handed Nancy Pelosi a very late Christmas gift.
I know. I want to become a congressman just so I can have a hearing on balls and just not fight any men.
Yes.
What's the subject? Balls.
Welcome
and
to the testicular
self-exam
lecture.
Can I say anything? No.
Lecture.
Catherine Heigl will be the moderator.
I'm going to have an erectile dysfunction hearing and no men are allowed.
No men allowed whatsoever.
No. I'm sorry. What do you have here? Oh, you have Daryl Issa.
Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, Nancy Pelosi.
Right now, as we gather here in another part of the Capitol, there is a hearing. 5 men are testifying on women's health. My colleague, Carolyn Maloney of New York, who is on the committee, looked down at this panel from which a woman who was the Democratic witness was excluded and said, where are the women? And that's a good question for the whole debate. Where are the women?
Yeah, I got a question for you. What are you going to make me a sandwich?
Panel. Imagine having a panel on women's health and they don't have any women on the panel. Duh.
Hey, skirt, get me a coffee. You know
right.
how I
we
like
let
it.
We let a chick in. She brought the coffee.
Listen, Cupcake, when are you going to make me a steak?
Wow. That was, and did you see, it was, because she was a college student. He's like, oh, she has no credentials. She's a college kid. She has no credentials. She has ovaries, for God's sake.
It's incredible.
She was someone that was going, you know, that's taking birth control for not even, you know, contraception, because there's a lot of women like that that have to take it for endometriosis or all kinds of things. So that's what, yeah, that would have been inconvenient testimony.
Well, let's not forget Daryl Issus, the man we can thank for trusting our state economy to an Austrian weightlifter.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Daryl Issus.
We owe him a lot of laughs as comedians. We shouldn't be too hard on him. Yeah, California broke its femur. Ah! Get back to the chopper, California.
California may not be back. That's the sad thing for us, not after Schwarzenegger. All right. So, wow, lots of, we're off to a frolicking start, aren't we? Lots to get to.
It's a frothy frolic.
Yes. Yeah, and my personal comedy Jesus is seriously like I could touch his robe from here. He's right next to me.
Right. Come unto the hem of my garment.
All right, I had to channel you with a right wing caller. Remember this week? I can't remember who it was, but I made a fugal singing point, didn't I?
You did.
I filled in for the ecclesiastical MOOC.
I did. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Well, probably right. About birth control, because after last week, you know, last week's on your show, you actually gave me free rein to tell the story of Onan from the Book of Genesis.
Yeah, we love the seed spilling here
on
the Stephanie
Miller Show. Well, that's the seed spilling story where they justify
Jim does it every day.
All of this, and there's none of it is justified in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible does anyone say, thou shalt not wear a Jimmy hat. It's made up stuff, and we're the conservatives on this, and they're the radicals by saying it's somewhere there where it ain't.
There you go. 17 minutes after the hour, after we're all looking Start Fridays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the. I'm sorry, I was taking a moment to vote. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12.
Is that what you call broken?
I thought you were having a seizure.
Yeah.
Looks very similar.
That's what passes for voguing around here.
I've got to figure out this
Not
insomnia.
Not in this man's army.
By the way, Roland, sexy liberal tour director, he's finally gone around the bend. He said he had a dream last night where he was doing, not sexy liberal anymore, but a touring production of Gypsy. Where Ron, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money,
is that
plays
his name?
Mama Rose,
Ron?
And I was playing Gypsy Lee.
Wow.
And then he just sent me the lyrics, and he said, I can totally hear Ron singing this to you.
Ron does have an Ethel Merman side about him.
He's a sunny, optimistic person.
There's no payroll like no payroll like no payroll I know.
He's very peppy about the whole notion of working me to death.
Everything about it is appealing. This is
all
good.
Right. All right. And also, the yikes breaking news from Roland, tour director. Chicago, there are eight, March 3rd, there
yes.
are eight VIP meet and greet seats that were put back on sale by the box office. They were sold out previously of that level. So I would hurry up and grab those. Quick,
I
go
would do
now.
That.
Go, get now. Here we go.
I would do
the
that.
Stephanie Miller, sexy liberal comedy tour, took the Windy City by storm in 2011.
Versus Chicago.
Because of overwhelming popular demand, your favorite progressive comedy trio is taking it back to Chicago.
Chicago, show me love up in the club.
On March 3rd, at the height of the Republican primary season, insightful satirist John Fugelsang, mischievous heartthrob Hal Sparks, and the stunning seductress Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater.
Bring it!
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, and tickets can be purchased at the Chicago Theater box office. Join this record-breaking comedic revolution. It's your best remedy against right-wing distortions.
That's Chicago.
Second City, don't miss this second chance at sexy liberal splendor.
Yay!
Can I tell you about the music in that promo? Because he played Ice Cubes in the club with Chicago.
Yeah,
and I spent like months telling him, Shano, you got to use Ice Cubes in the club because he references every city. So we could, every town we go to, you know, there's like, KC, show me love up in the club. The Bay, show me love. But then he used Garbage in the end. Sex is not the enemy. And Garbage is one of my favorite bands. And they're coming back with a new record. And the bass player, Duke from Garbage, came to our first show in Madison because they're a Madison-based band. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Except wow. She's from Scotland.
Former, very Scottish.
Former VJ, John Fugelsang. Do not
that's correct.
Mess with the music man.
They are one hot Scottish lady and three cool Madison dudes, including right. The guy who mixed Nirvana's albums, Butch Vig.
Oh, right.
Yep. Wow, we just turned into a music morning show.
Uh-huh.
All right.
That's our connection to Nirvana.
Okay. Also,
I saw Dave Grohl at Target once. With his daughter on his shoulder.
Man, was it so cool seeing him and Springsteen play with McCartney the other day at the Grammys? Oh, that was good news.
Oh, my God, they've evolved into dude music talk. Albuquerque, because we have been conscious about cheaper tickets, a heads up, the balcony, which is very comfortable balcony, not high up because it's a modern theater there in Albuquerque
the
for March 31st. They only have 40 tickets left and then will be sold out. So hurry.
Hurry.
And also back at number one for the past 3 days on Amazon Comedy. The
only
volume
political
one.
Album ever to go to number one on Amazon's comedy charts, Billboard's comedy charts, and iTunes' comedy charts.
Popejoy sounds like a contradiction in terms.
Yes.
It sounds like a mixed bag.
The Pope's not allowed to have pleasure, no?
No.
That's what Catholicism is for.
Double your fun, or else!
It's for suffering.
That's right.
Catholicism.
It is. We are the people who proudly confuse humility with self-loathing.
There you go.
Is the Pope
now,
German?
Yeah, not only is he German, he's un-American.
winning, duh. Speaking of which, public backs Obama in birth control fight, polls suggest. Oh, John,
sure, if you talked to the chicks.
Let me tell you, man, this is
proof. Are you including chicks in that poll?
Your problem.
They should get polled, but you know what I'm saying. Not like that.
We got to poll the whole electorate on this.
Not even close. By a lopsided margin of 66% to 26%, Americans support President Obama's proposal to require private health insurance plans to cover the full cost of birth control for women, according to a new CBS New York Times public opinion poll. Rephrasing the question to ask specifically about religiously affiliated employers such as a hospital or university barely moved the needle, 61% to 31%. Oh! You know,
Santorum must be having a Santorum right now.
Yeah, sometimes liberals go overboard a bit saying how President Obama's playing chess and you're playing checkers, but this is an example of where they've so played them so beautifully that I'm convinced David Plouffe does more than send me emails I don't read. When this first came out, I thought, why are they announcing this in late January about contraceptive coverage? And it is just, it's destroyed.
And it's a rule that existed under George Bush that half of these senators that are screaming about it now voted for it in their own states.
And,
you're like, what?
And Mitt Romney as well. And it's pretty much killing the Romney campaign. It's helping Santorum so much, and it helps Obama and the general so much because, again, it takes the debate away from the economy, which is getting better.
Yeah.
And that's all Mitt Romney has to run on. Mitt Romney does not want to run on social conservative issues. And then it gives it to Santorum, and it's an issue that is the least popular social conservative issue.
Here's a line I don't want to read in one more national news story. Are you listening, Democrats? Congressional Democrats fretted last week that the firestorm could cost them dearly among blue-collar voters, especially Catholics in states like Pennsylvania.
Oh, God.
Oh, for God's sakes. Fuck off, Democrats. Stop being such weenies. I mean, seriously, Democrats were afraid. Democrats fretted that this...
So terrified.
Yeah.
Oh, please don't pick a really smart issue that shows how marginalized our opposition should be.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I know, but wasn't it typical, Jim, like in the debate, like, oh, some Democrats are even, you know, backing away from the president. It's just, oh, my God.
But the smartest
really?
Thing a Democrat can do is separate Wall Street from the social conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the servant of two masters, the GOP, and Wall Street hires these shills who are there to work for them and cut their taxes and make things easier for them. And all these shills have to do is talk about abortion, gay marriage, and illegal immigration, the three best fundraising topics for the GOP that Wall Street doesn't care about. And social conservatives have begun to realize, hey, our party just serves Wall Street, and they don't care about my issues.
John, it's not just one social issue. It's every social issue. While the country has gotten more and more progressive, I mean, literally, the other party is just going back. Literally, you turn that TV, I'm like, is this 1952? Seriously, is this a joke?
No, if it was
you're not letting any women testify on women's health.
If it was
and
52,
there's
we'd
this
be...
guy with white hair telling some joke about women holding an aspirin between
Danes,
their knees.
Danes that hold aspirin between their knees because they weren't harlots and sluts.
Now I've got a meeting with Don Draper down the hall.
I mean, It's stunning, though, right? I mean, how out of step they are
it's
on
like
every
the 50s,
issue.
Except if this was the 50s, we'd be taxing the rich and having a real GI Bill. So yeah.
There you go.
Not quite like a 50s.
Oops. Yeah, right. We should say, well, great, let's go back to the Eisenhower tax rates then.
Mm-hmm.
Since
let's
you're
get
so
a
for...
new interstate highway
okay,
program.
I'll stop voting if you pay 70% again. How about that?
90%.
29. I'll stop voting and hosting radio shows and go back and make you a sandwich.
Thanks, Cupcake.
If you pay 70%.
Don't act like you don't like it.
Oh, jiggles. Right back on the Stephanie Norris Show.
Settle an argument, will you? Would you say
Stephanie Miller
is beautiful or gorgeous? I said beautiful. Tim said gorgeous. Holt tragically said, whoop, there it is.
What?
And who has it?
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with John Fugel saying, welcome to it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Carl in Nashville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good.
Well, you, listen, we've been observing and have been enjoying the destruction and closing of the Republican Party that we fail to realize that the president has been kicking ass.
I'm talking
about the FAA, he got that fine. You remember they let that shut down during August. He signed that Wednesday. Also shocking, he got a judge. He got one of his judges through and on the 11th Circuit. He also about to make him cave on the on giving the rest of the tax benefit for the rest of the year,
yep.
The payroll tax. He has been like super president.
And you know what?
When you're fixated on the Republican Party, and I shudder to call those guys a party anymore with their guns, guys, and aspirins. I mean, we're sitting back and we're looking at these guys implode. You have Mitt Romney, Mr. I'm from everywhere, talking about trees, and you have Rick Santorum, a guy you can't even Google his name if you're under 18. It is absolutely amazing the legislative victories that the president got this week. He has absolutely beaten them down. Yes, he's playing chess. While they're playing checkers.
You sound entirely too chuckly about this whole thing, Carl.
I am enjoying the hell out of this. I've never seen the Republican Party like this. They've always been the grown-up party. Now they're just a bunch of class clowns.
Yeah. And just to rub it in, to put an exclamation point on it, he nails an Al Green song.
Mm-hmm.
Schools, exactly. Ring the bell, schools in, sucker.
Guys.
All right, thank you, honey.
Yeah, and he's doing it without the George Bush braggadocio, you know, the all hat and no cap.
But I did.
Yeah,
you know,
he doesn't wear a codpiece.
He's been very quiet about his achievements.
Yeah.
Whereas Bush.
Yeah, I love this story. The United House leadership, Republican leadership, surrendered crisply and cleanly on legislation to extend just. The orange man just raised the white flag slowly.
We had orange fingerprints on it, but it's still the white flag.
To extend expiring payroll tax cuts for 160 million Americans, skipping most, if not all, of the self-defeating drama that accompanied their far noisier retreat on the same issue late last year.
The American people don't like us at all.
They also handed President Obama an unambiguous political victory as he campaigns for campaigns for re-election.
Yeah.
Well,
now it's about the Senate, kids, because it's like, I don't want to say the White House is over, and the one thing that will beat President Obama is $5 a gallon gas. That's what I'm more worried about, gas prices and the Senate going to the GOP, than I'm worried about the White House at this point. Having said that, with Foster Freeze, you know what? We should try to get hold of the audio of Nicholson in Five Easy Pieces when he says, I want you to hold it between your knees. That's how out of touch the front runner in the GOP is.
Yeah, it's what do you call it?
Contraception. Hold the chicken.
They actually, Citizens United, all that. They're probably Republicans now are going, you know, I wish we could keep these guys secret. Why are you going on TV? Now that we can see who you are, I mean, you can these guys want the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he thinks he's clever. You know, he's helping Santorum. It's like, oh no, really? This is a signal forecast. Obama poised to win 2012 election with 303 electoral votes. They've already done a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
if the election were held today.
Well, Fox said he already lost several months ago.
Well. Yeah.
With fewer than 9 months to go before election, the Signal, I don't know what that is. It's a whole, you know, they numbers crunchers. They predict he will win with a 303 electoral votes. The Republican nominee is 235. Unless it's, well, it doesn't matter who it is. Well. Unless it's Mitt Romney and he continues
to talk.
That's
why I keep telling you, Hillary Clinton doesn't need to become vice president.
Yeah.
That's assuming they don't steal it again, but, yeah. You know,
oh, it's based on a prediction engine created by Yahoo scientists.
Ah.
Well, in that case, this is... I can't even get my Yahoo browser to work properly so I can print without cutting off the right side. What, they're saying they know in 9 months exactly how many...
Wow.
It forecasts the results of the Electoral College based on past elections, economic indicators, measures of state ideology, presidential
and
approval ratings, incumbency, and a few other politically agnostic factors.
I picture them with Tesla coils.
What's a politically agnostic factor?
And the fact that Mitt Romney will have to say things between now and then.
Well, exactly. They're all going to have to open their mouths and talk. And again, Mitt Romney says there's no way he's going to lose Michigan. That's his daddy's state. And you know what that means?
He's
a lot of money
Michigan.
Is going to be spent smearing Santorum on TV screens.
Oh. I thought this was an indicative headline. CNN scrubs Georgia debate after two candidates cancel.
Wow.
Are they just going to cancel the primary this year? Can we... You know what, we're just canceling it. This clearly is a disaster.
You know Gingrich won't drop out until Georgia, which is
great.
They
could turn it around like Spider-Man, but I don't think so. The musical. I don't think so, John. CNN has called off a Republican presidential debate scheduled for March 1st in Georgia after Mitt Romney and Ron Paul said they would not attend.
Yeah, wow. Why is that? Why would they do that?
Rick Santorum's campaign signaled he was unlikely to attend as well, so it would just be Newty, frankly.
I don't understand why. Why would they not want to do this? They all stand to benefit so much from debates. These guys are the four best debaters left.
Debating himself. All of them are scheduled to debate February 22nd in Mesa, Arizona, which is awesome because sexy liberals February 25th.
Hi.
Phoenix. Yes. Oh, I wasn't supposed to mention that again. It's been
Don't
sold
mention
out.
That again.
Sorry.
Jan Brewer will not be spared.
Listen, Missy.
Did you hear when Obama was speaking in San Francisco this week? Because he's been doing fundraisers.
Yes.
And you know about the $35,000 plate fundraisers he's doing all over the state and yet making no appearances anywhere? And it's been a little bit controversial and a little interesting that the media is actually covering this, that he's doing it. But they were protesting in San Francisco holding giant foam fingers, like from the sports, the number one, in tribute to Jan Brewer.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Allow yourself with her more.
Were they bony and arthritic?
Are they bony and liver spotted?
Yeah.
And they smelled of sulfur.
Welcome to the crypt. I've got the bone to pick with you.
Romney's campaign noted yesterday that its candidate has already been in 20 debates. And I think they noticed that the more he talks, the lower his approval ratings go. So he won't be doing any more talking, apparently. That's his new... I got to tell you what. Santorum has an 18-point lead over Romney in Ohio.
Can you believe it?
42% to 24%. He's ahead in Ohio. Newt Gingrich third at 13%, Ron Paul at 10%. If the field were to narrow to just Romney and Santorum, Santorum would flatten Romney 58% to 30. Nonetheless, I just love these lines in these stories. Nonetheless, Romney is still expected to victor in the primary process, with 55% saying they expect him to be the nominee and just 26% saying it'll be Santorum, or Charlie Pierce says the forced march to Mittdom.
If a new candidate jumps in, that's the difference, and that's why I think Bobby Brown's got to join the race as a Republican. He's got name recognition.
Sure.
People know him from the TV.
Sure.
They know where he stands on the issues. He's a fresh face, and he's got to find some way to capitalize off what happened last week.
Oh, dear.
So Bobby Brown would outpoll Newt Gingrich.
Oh, dear. It's his prerogative. David in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
You know, I think the way Fox News has been playing all this crazy fear stuff and the way the Republican Party is trying to just totally give us the complete and utter service to it, I think the American public is at a point where we're just crisis fatigue. You know, we can't hear it anymore. You know, what's the the one more thing we should be afraid of? What's the one more thing that we're supposed to look out for? And we've come to expect that so completely from them that we don't hear it anymore. And I'm wondering if it's just wearing us down to the point where I don't care anymore. You know, is the American public finally getting smart because they just can't stand it anymore?
Well, I mean, we were saying it's gotten so ridiculous that all they're left with is sort of conspiracy theories that, A, they're making up the jobs numbers, that it's not real. I mean, it really is hilarious, isn't it?
Well, it's hilarious, but the thing is, it smacks. I don't like to say this is my only argument against that side of things, but honestly, when you're a racist, you make up all kinds of weird stuff about the people that you hate for no logical reason. And so let's make up statistics. Let's just accuse them of making up statistics, anything we can, because, you know, Obama still insists on being too black, so we have to discredit them as much as we possibly can.
It's Yeah, Dave, it really is. I mean, it has become a complete parallel universe where, you know, you just cannot really dispute a lot of the president's accomplishments. You just can't. You know, as a failed presidency when you go, we're out of Iraq, we're getting out of Afghanistan, he killed bin Laden, he rescued the car industry.
But he has failed to clean up the mess that we created. That's how he's a failure.
Yeah, well, but have you know what projection is, right? Yeah, I accuse you of doing the things that I hate about myself.
Right.
And I think that
I know you are, but what am I?
Well, Dad, I have nothing. No, it was just the idea that, well, he did all these things that we couldn't accomplish, and therefore his success is our failure. And so it's this really reactionary kind of explosion at Obama again for no logical reason.
Yeah.
And that's why I have to listen to Stephanie Miller every day.
Thank you.
Yes, that's right.
It's an explosion of illogic.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Thank you, David.
Welcome, dear.
All right.
Okay. We need a Stephanie Miller Show app and then a Stephanie Miller Show IV drip.
Sure.
And that should take it with
contraceptive
you all day.
Foam.
Mm-hmm.
I could be anything I want to be. Thank you. I am a suppository already.
Suppository. Wow.
Thank you. And my brand of tuna is best. Thanks for asking.
Every woman now using Preparation H suppositories should switch to
Stephanie Miller.
45 minutes after the hour.
Sexy liberal goodness.
Mm-hmm. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays of Fugle Saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
See, I'm crazy. I really don't care.
Bobby Brown would like to beg you to play this song about 1,000 more times now.
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 50 minutes after the hour. By the way, there's still rumors that he's not invited to the funeral. They don't know if he's going.
Yeah.
Oh, he is?
He is invited.
Yeah. Well, he may be the only person to get booed at a funeral since George Bush.
You know, that's the big debate, isn't it? I mean, how much of this is Whitney's personal responsibility, and how much do you want to blame Bobby Brown?
Yeah.
I mean, she reportedly had problems long before she married him and had him afterwards, but
yeah,
it was really his reality show that you know, hurt her so much in so many ways. You know, like, people didn't realize how bad Whitney was doing until they began seeing it on that horrible show.
No, I was saying that could be the best, you know, whether it's rehab or, you know, in the school for kids. It's just like, Lisa and I did that. We watched, like, the videos from her prime to, you know, the Australia concert. You just go, oh, my God. If there is, like, a better tutorial for, you know,
right?
The cost of drugs.
It's true.
Wow.
It really, really is.
That interview about Michael Jackson, she talked about feeling afraid for him and herself. Remember when she did the concert for him and she looked like a skeleton?
In fairness, if you wanted a tutorial about the ravages of drugs, you could watch the Beach Boys reunion at the Grammys last week. That was even worse. But, yeah, and it's amazing also and tragic that now we know what someone has to do to get MTV to play videos again.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so amazing seeing MTV and BET playing a lot of her videos that haven't gotten airtime in so long, and just seeing how beautiful she was, how talented.
Well, I was saying, it resonated for me because she's about my age, and I interviewed her when, you know, I was a baby DJ in New York, and she was, you know, just broke in, and I remember her as being, you know, had this big, huge laugh and full of, you know, life.
I would
life
see her at VH1 events all the time, and she's just really just so charismatic, and, you know, a lot of people are scoffing at this, and a lot of our friends on the left are guilty of it, too. I just hosted the Young Turks web show, The Point, the other day, and it's on YouTube. I'd like to recommend it, but I pitched them. I said, I want to talk about Whitney, and they said no, and one of our guests didn't want to talk about it, and I said, said, look, number one, millions of us grew up with her, and millions of Americans know Whitney Houston.
I was wondering
Whitney
if it was a girl
but,
thing, because Lisa were saying that even all of our friends were really emotional, but I don't know why.
This is relevant. It's socially relevant.
I cried when, you know, Dolly Parton said the thing about I will always love you, and I was
No. It's a legitimate news story, because number one, millions of us feel like we know Whitney better than we know our own cousins. Number two, more Americans are now dying from accidental drug overdoses every year than are killed in car accidents.
And it caused me to do a very rare Republican, let's hear it for the boy, for Chris Christie, who did the right thing. You know,
he did.
I can't believe that he... I mean, at some point, we always talk about this. Are we humans anymore, or is everything partisan? I mean, we were talking about... I don't know if you went on FoxNation.com. The most racist, vile, hateful, N-word, are all over the place. On the day she died.
You know, she deserved it because she was...
But I mean, but he did the right thing. And so he lowered the flags to half staff. I mean, how many people achieved the success she did? He said she's a daughter of New Jersey.
Exactly.
I'm not honoring
she's
a drug
won
addict.
So many Grammy Awards.
And he said that doesn't wipe out the good that she did, you know?
She did a lip-synced version of the national anthem at the Super Bowl and made it a hit single twice because the performance was so great.
You know what? And the thing is, she could be a role model in the sense that I bet a lot of kids aspire to that kind of success, but now go, I don't want to have the same, you know, want that to end
she
that
is
way.
A role model as far as talent goes. It's tragic what happened to it, but you know, it's like the same with Amy Winehouse. People keep saying, what a waste of talent, what a waste, what a waste, what a waste of talent. No, it's not a waste of talent. A waste of talent is not using the gifts God gave you. Not doing anything with your talent is a waste. Whitney accomplished more in her career than most music professionals ever will dream of.
Well, good for Chris Christie. He was like, I reject that as a human being.
Exactly.
On a human level.
Exactly.
That you know, she's you know, that negates everything you've done in your life. You
and,
know?
And you know, you bring up an interesting point too. This really, you know, shows one of the dark sides of humanity in that Americans are addicted to addicts. And in the age of reality TV, we are addicted to watching addicts F up. And we love to do it, and it's a spectator sport. And God bless Dr. Drew, but he has a whole he's a great guy. I like him a lot. And I thought Celebrity Rehab was going to be a really positive series to show people what goes on in the rooms. But instead, it seems like it's a show that comes up to struggling addicts and says, hey, if you'll detox and flip out in front of cameras for 2 weeks, we'll give you a lot of cash to do whatever you want. And to have two Celebrity Rehab cast members die in the last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, just showing the Bobby Brown reality show in, you know, juxtaposed against one of her early videos is enough
so
to go.
Oh, it's like, put down the camera and help these people instead of making money off the spectacle.
But, John, you know, we're comedians and, you know, we're guilty of it. I'm sure we've all made Whitney Houston jokes over the years, you know.
Absolutely. But
I actually mostly made them at Jim Ward's expense because his bathroom does look a lot like Whitney Houston's bathroom in the National Enquirer. He's just messy, though.
Well, you know, it's you want to make fun of people who deserve it. And I try to not make fun of artists or addicts if I can. But the thing is, when you look at what happened to this woman, you know, we love to be mean and we love to feel better that we're better than someone and to put someone, you know, under our feet. But for us as a spectator sport to get off on enjoying the suffering of others, I did a pop culture show and I finally said on the air one day that I can't make any more Anna Nicole Smith jokes. It's been fun, but anyone who's ever loved an addict knows the more you play dumb about it and have cutesy comments,
I mean, a few,
you're
I can
an
remember,
enabler.
But a few comedians said that at the time, that there was a point that people went, okay, we're
I
not,
had
you
to
know,
stop
you can't.
And she was dead a week later. And you know, and the same with Britney Spears, Craig Ferguson. He said he wasn't going to tell any more Britney jokes because she was just too strung out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think, I'm one of those guys who thinks that drugs, the problem's not that drugs are bad, the problem is that drugs are great. That's the problem.
Mm.
And so I do believe in decriminalization, but I also believe in a lot more care and a lot more awareness so addiction isn't a problem in the society.
And I get people that, you know, that she, like you said, she did make her own choices, but I think that it did bring up a lot of issues that I think are valid. And,
one
of them, you know, we've been talking about is that everybody knows it was all over the tabloids that she was gay. And I don't know if that's true or not. I don't care if it's true. My point is, if, in fact, that was one of the reasons for marrying Bobby Brown, if it were a reason for why she made the choices she did, that's also a tragedy.
Well, we haven't heard that rumor in 15 years. I mean, I grew up hearing Whitney's gay, and then, of course, she married Bobby Brown, and that TV show went on the air, and that all stopped. So, you know,
that's my point, is that, you know, if that's why she made that choice. But we were just saying, thank God, it's also a different world today than it was then in terms of you know,
course.
And I understand it because I didn't come out till last year. I get thinking, oh, you know, it's going to hurt my career.
Sure, and she grew up in the church. And I would get
I'm
that,
saying
yeah.
even if she's not, but the fact that she was obviously so distressed by those rumors that, you know, it was still such a bad thing or a career killer back in, you know, when she came up, I guess. So anyway.
Yeah. It's so sad. And it is very political. And again, more Americans die of prescription drug overdoses than die in car accidents.
Yep. Wendy in Chicago wants to chime in. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I'll just listen. listening to this discussion, I'm having sort of an online debate with my sister-in-law right now, because her view is that, well, you know what, Whitney was nothing but a crackhead, and she doesn't deserve to have a flag half-mast. Here's my thing. I'm your age, Mama. I'm, well, almost 50.
Right.
I remember when Elvis Presley died, and he was treated as though he was a national treasure.
Yeah.
The flags in Tennessee were all half-mast for him.
Right.
We didn't remember him as, okay, he was a bloated drug addict.
Right, but see, Wendy, this is what you say. Is it a sexist thing? Is it racist?
Yes, it is.
Sexism and racism.
Yes.
Because I'm old enough that when I hear the word crackhead, I get a distinct image in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so I think
somebody on Fox said the president looks like a skinny crackhead.
Thank you.
And let's be honest, there was no crack pipes in this hotel room. There
were
prescription
exactly.
drugs, legal, taxable, wholesome, advertised to death on TV news, prescription drugs.
Right. Mm-hmm. So do we punish the addicts, or do we void all of the accomplishments and
mm-hmm.
beauty that she brought in her artistry
exactly.
and some philanthropy that she did probably for the state of New Jersey?
Yeah, and as I said, Wendy, she can be a role model as a cautionary tale.
And you know she was
as
a good
the heights
person,
and the depths you can
she
reach.
She was a good person, and she still is a good person.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number, stephaniemiller.com. The website, sexyliberal.com. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang, live, in color, in person, in the L.A. studio, all 3 hours.
Friday's so nice to see all of you.
Fugelsang. Wendy in Chicago, the smartest girl in class this morning, she started a firestorm. She made a great, great point that nobody protested flying flags at half-staff for Elvis when he died,
nope.
And we were talking about, is it sexist, is it racist? And I was talking about Fox, for instance, blatantly. Who was it, Chris, we played the other day, Eric Bowling?
Mm-hmm.
Said he was making a reference to Maxine Waters on some totally different subject, and he said, "Back away, you know, look at Whitney Houston, back away from the crack pipe."
Yeah.
To a United States congresswoman.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Now, in fairness to the Elvis thing, back then, Elvis hadn't done a reality show for everybody to see what an addict he was, and people didn't know until after his death the contents of his stomach and the kind of garbage Dr. Nick had poured into the guy's body for many years. You know, the famous picture of Elvis with Nixon? You know what that was really all about? Elvis wrote Nixon this incoherent letter attacking the Beatles as bad role models, despite the fact that he hung out with the Beatles and jammed with them, and despite the fact he'd covered Beatles songs in concert. But he did it to go to the White House, and Nixon saw it as a good PR move, so they invited him in, and you've seen that famous picture of Elvis all incoherent and sweaty and Nixon.
Yeah.
Nixon gave Elvis an honorary drug enforcement agent's badge, which
mm-hmm.
for the rest of his life exonerated Elvis from any inconvenient airport searches.
And Nixon
that's
was
what that story was
Nixon
about.
Was sweaty without being a drug addict.
Well,
he was just sweating.
Nixon was addicted to the safe, legal, taxable, moral pharmaceutical drugs. But Elvis, you know, if we had known at the time, then yeah, people talked about his weight when he died and how awful he looked. People
mm-hmm.
didn't know. So I will give but it's a great point. No one ever says that. People joke about Elvis all the time.
Yeah.
They're going to joke about Whitney Houston forever.
By
it's
the
sad,
way,
but it's why drugs are bad for you.
The Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize. We stumbled into several minutes of serious, thoughtful conversation. Now back to the fart jokes.
Won't happen again.
Apologize. Wow. Okay. All right, kids, Sexy Liberaldom, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, some more John Fugelsang, the straight Robert Mapplethorpe photographs from Portland and from Philly. Oh, wait a minute, Vanessa in D.C. was in Philly. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Steffi and the Mooks. How are you all this morning?
Good, honey. How you doing?
Good. Rita, my friend, and I, we met you in Bethesda when you were here.
Oh, my God.
And so I told her, I said, you know, I don't think they're coming to D.C. I think we need a hotel at the Philly. So rented a car, and we went up there to see you and came back the same night. Loved it.
Aw, thank you, honey.
Absolutely funny. Couldn't afford to grope you, but, you know, it was just love. You are just so hot, Mama.
Oh,
right, isn't she?
Right.
And your guys were just so funny. Our stomachs hurt so bad the next day
for
all the laughing.
And they're pretty, aren't they?
Oh, they're so cute.
Pretty.
Love
my God.
Text on John. But anyway.
The what?
I'm sorry. What?
It's getting hot here. I'm
the what?
Here.
The PECs.
Listen, it is such a the PECs, yeah. It is such a special.
Thank you. I got Lee Press on PECs.
Ooh,
yeah.
Love. Look, yeah. I heard there.
And by the way, it's such a special time when we have to when the paramedics come and cut the tight pants off Hal Sparks at the end of the show.
I love it. I love it.
They use the jaws of life to get him undressed every night.
Yeah.
Look, you all, I heard that there was a Steph Head meeting this weekend in D.C.
Oh, that's right. They're having Steph Head meetups in D.C.
They
just
are.
To talk about it.
You know what you do? Go to the Sexy Liberal page on Facebook and scroll down and you'll find links because the good folks who run those meetings in that area do post them. And the Steph fans all get together.
Yeah, and talk smack about me.
Yeah, wonderful. They do. They really
absolutely
do.
But look, last thing, and I'm going to let you go and have a great weekend.
Thank you, baby.
I thought I'm getting my satellite radio installed in my car, so this is kind of like a non-issue for me. But I thought there was a D.C. station. I was, like, telling everybody that you guys were back on air in D.C.
Yes, we are.
Find it.
Oh, we are. Well, you know what? It's on StephanieMiller.com, right?
I'll check it out.
Yeah, you can check it out. I'm sorry, I'm spacing right this
Don't
moment.
Don't worry about it.
It's up
Friday.
There.
Love you,
all
mama.
Right.
Love you, mom.
All right.
You all have a great weekend.
You too,
love
honey.
You.
Love you. Yay. How much
AM 1480.
AM 1480. Sorry.
You
okay.
Have such a great audience on this show, man. I love your audience.
Oh, by the way, I told you the story. This is a little peek into my life. So last night, speaking of SiriusXM, where we are our fabulous satellite. So the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me with the life insurance money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I want you to make dinner for us, and we're gonna have a meeting. So 5 o'clock because I go to bed at
2 o'clock.
Get up at
insanity.
Yeah. So work night, I cook dinner. I'm Samantha. I'm bewitched. I'm like, oh, well, Darren, all right, but don't make me be here all night with Mr. Tate.
Dinner. What did you cook?
Pasta. Chicken sausage pasta was delightful and salad. And so the guy shows up at 5. Ron shows up about 7:30.
Okay, this is good. Twist the food.
After I've already had a dinner party, I'm just tap dancing all night. Thank you. Thank
What's
you,
for
Colonel.
Dinner?
Thank you, Colonel Parker.
Pop-Tarts.
I just whipped them at him.
Yeah.
Shaklank. It is the 1950s again. I was sitting there holding a bare aspirin between my knees. Just, you are late! And I made me entertain Mr. Tate all night by myself. All right. SexyLiberal.com. Check it out. I won't mention the ones up next because it's sold out.
Don't mention that
okay.
one.
March 3rd, Chicago almost sold out. March 31st, Albuquerque almost sold out. Madison is sold out. Sorry, April. Minneapolis with Aisha Tyler in
That's
May.
That's going to be fun.
Off the hook.
Just keep her hands off me, please, because the last time
it was really
uptight in Detroit. I mean, she's all hands. I appreciate the power
she's
I have over
handsy.
Her.
She's handsy. She's smart and beautiful.
You know,
little handsy. Little handsy.
She knows the power. She can't resist, but she has
Nobody can resist my sexy liver voice. My mom got a little handsy with you.
Your mom was all hands. Yeah. I had to throw her out of the car.
Yeah, my mom's like Betty White. She's
your mom. Yeah, it was. Jeez. I'm convinced those were rupees in that drink she gave me.
Uh-huh.
So
it
would be off the hook. But
Los Angeles in July, Seattle in September. That's it. All right, get your tickets now. All right.
Get the album. Pick up that album.
Yes.
Okay, and I have an announcement to make.
There's
later
an actual physical CD on sexyliberal.com, or you can get the download from Amazon or iTunes.
Yeah, if you have a physical CD, you can actually look at yourself while you load it up and really be true to the show's aesthetic.
As you know, I fly Screaming Baby Airlines. So I love this story. Man next to crying child opens the emergency door.
Not
in the air. Not
yeah.
in the air.
Well, it's probably impossible to do it in the air.
That is the longest. Don't you think when the screaming baby, the longest time is actually when the plane lands and how long it takes to get off the plane while. Yeah. So I can understand his.
Get me out of here.
Go, everybody. Go. We're on the ground. This was in Hanoi, Vietnam. A mom with a screaming child wanted a quick getaway from a plane on the tarmac in Vietnam. The man next to her obliged by opening the emergency exit and triggering the escape slide.
Great.
I feel his pain. You just don't you feel like sometimes it's as long as the flight? How long can you have to sit on the runway? Go, everybody, go. The child is gone.
You thought it took forever for us to get out of Vietnam.
Yeah, as it turns out, it costs like $10,000 to replace the emergency chute when you do that.
Lord.
So that's kind of a no-no, apparently.
Huh.
I guess it really is only for emergencies. Who knew?
Even
that would be an emergency to me.
Even the JetBlue flight attendant
yeah.
who slid down the
with a beer. That's my favorite. Yeah, if I have to do this to Sexy Liberal too much longer, it's going to be me. With a box of wine. With a box of wine. Woo! I'm out of here! All right. Let's see. We have tons to get to. Let's go. Carson in Chicago wants to chime in on the Whitney Houston debate, though. Hey, Carson.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
I just wanted to, two things. One, I'm so excited. I'm coming to the meet and grow up in Madison with my mom.
Oh, my God! In April.
So excited. I called him before. My husband died 10 months ago after being out of work for 2 years. He succumbed to alcoholism. He had been to rehab about eight times within a year.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
And he was a graduate. He had an MBA from Kellogg Northwestern. So he was a very, you know, talented, like many of these people. He was a great, you know, at the time she was 8 years old, our daughter.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say this happens all the time. And people have their demons, and they just can't overcome them from whatever, you know, for whatever reason. The people around them love them. Yeah. They see it. It's the most heartbreaking thing to watch.
No, Carson, and you're right. And I don't, you know, look, I don't know anybody that doesn't have some kind of addiction, you know. And you're right. It's all a question of, you know, it's like Chris Christie said. He said, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." And you go, I wonder what his addiction is. Oh, never
but
mind.
Just as she can separate, you know, her wonderful husband from her husband's horrible disease, I think a lot of the fans can separate Whitney Houston from her disease and see it as two distinct things. And we can love the person and hate the disease that took them from us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the saddest part of it is, if there is an afterworld, you know, these people are up there saying, I can't believe I let this happen, you know, that this ended up being my demise, you know.
You know, and Carson, again, you know, it's I can't believe I'm quoting Chris Christie this much, but, you know, the whole there, but for the grace of God, you're right. I mean, you feel like we're all just one, you know, lost job or broken relationship or whatever,
away from,
you know, I mean. My girlfriend Lisa and I recently both, you know, a couple weeks ago, went, you know, I don't drink hard liquor, but I was like, we're drinking too much wine. We're too stressed out, you know, and you gotta go, you know, you either pay attention and go, okay, I'm gonna work on that. Or, you know, like you say, there's a combination of factors and we don't know all of them in Whitney Houston's life, right?
And anybody who's ever loved any kind of addict or done time in Al-Anon, which, you know, I can't stress the wonderfulness of Al-Anon enough, knows that.
I do it myself.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing.
It is a wonderful thing. And you know, it's like you got to love the person and hate the disease. And you can go years with an addict in your life, in your home, where you have to make that choice every day.
And
you know, I think like my husband was a big fan of the box wine for a while, but he was a social drinker. And then when things got really, really bad, he just couldn't. He was so disappointed in himself, and he felt he had failed. And then he just started drinking more and more, and it led to vodka. And I think also some of these people, like my husband, you know, feel that they're so, you know, smart and successful that they can overcome this, you know, and they don't. After at a point, you know, he just felt like he didn't need help. He was going to get over it, you know. He was one job away from just being a normal social drinker again, and that obviously didn't happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, Carson, I'm so sorry. Thanks for sharing your story, though.
Okay, well, I can't wait to meet you in Madison.
Me to you. All right. Yay. Meet and greet tickets. It's so exciting.
So fun. Okay. I love the meet and greets, too. Next to actually being on stage for these crowds, the meet and greet is my favorite part of the touring experience.
Yeah.
That and when I get to keep the groupies that fall from house table.
Yeah, please.
The crumbs.
Oh, you have an equal amount. Don't fight, boys. You're both pretty. 17 minutes. That's what I spend my whole time backstage doing, Chris. Boys, stop fighting. You're both pretty.
There's plenty of groupies to go around. Everybody share.
17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's just implied, but we all know what's going on in this thought bubble. The kids don't know, but we do.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You know, a great song? It's a great song when it sounds that good and it's 27 years old. That song is 27 years old this year.
Yep. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Ray in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ray. Hello, Ray. Ray, going once, going twice. Jim in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi, with Whitney Houston, one thing I thought that her tragic death would bring more attention to is our failed drug policy.
Right on.
Because we spend millions of dollars killing people here in Mexico and South America, and we need to put more money into addiction prevention and rehabilitation and less than, you know,
fighting a war on drugs.
Yeah. Well,
especially
when
the most deadly drugs are pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
Exactly. And let's not forget, you know what? I mean, back in the colonial days, the biggest drug problem in colonial America is the same as now, and it's alcohol. Mm-hmm. The one that causes the most deaths, destroys the most families, and we don't lock people up for it. We lock them up for those untaxable, you know, cheap street drugs. And
I was telling you, I've never even smoked pot. I've never done any drug. My one was Lunesta, the big green moth that almost ate my brain from the sexy literature because I can't sleep.
And if
I'm
had
not
known
used to
you were on Lunesta, I would have tied you down and made you watch the commercial just to listen to the side effects they warned you about.
Yeah.
Well, because I was desperate. I wasn't sleeping, you know. I mean, it was between, you know, morning radio and flying
yoga,
and time changing.
Yoga and baths. Yoga and baths.
Yeah.
Cutting down
that crap doesn't
wine
work
consumption
for me.
Just before you go to bed. Too.
What? Don't be ridiculous, Jim.
Well, okay, then.
Mike in Tacoma here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, before I get to what I was going to say, you played Raspberry Beret.
Yes.
KTOK up here.
Yeah.
They play the musical.
Have you taken Lunesta lately?
No, the musical version of it.
Oh, got it. All right.
Whenever there's a technical glitch or something.
Right. All right. You want to talk about Elvis? Go ahead.
The picture you were talking about with Elvis and Nixon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also came to the White House on that trip carrying a gun, which he carried a gun almost everywhere, but he was carrying a gun right into the White House. They let him waltz right in. Secret Service didn't pat him down, nothing. They didn't let him walk right in with a gun. He was packing the heat when he was, had that picture taken.
Well, Elvis, he had an honorary sheriff's badge, and he actually, when I was a VJ, I used to go down for Elvis Week every year, so I spent a lot of time at Graceland. I've heard a lot of cool rumors and met everyone in the whole Memphis Mafia.
Right.
And it turned me into an Elvis fan. And he used to pull people over on the side of the road as a volunteer sheriff.
That you would think you were on crack.
And he couldn't write them tickets.
Did
but he
Elvis
did,
with a fake sheriff badge just pull me over?
He did pull people over and give them warnings. He couldn't write tickets, but he did.
Hey, man,
you
got to slow down, man.
Thank you very much.
You got a sandwich in there?
John in Houston. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning. We have a right-wing hypocrite here in Houston. He's a talk show radio host, a guy named Michael Berry. And he really hates on the gays. He
in Houston?
Gay marriage. I'm sorry?
In Houston? You have a right-wing hypocrite?
Yeah. Mm. Can you? So he really hates our gay marriage and the gay community. Well, he was caught last week in a gay bar.
Oh, dear.
It gets worse.
Yeah.
He was involved in a hit-and-run accident.
Oh.
And he left the scene. He was identified.
Oh, dear.
And he claimed that he it wasn't him driving the truck.
It was some gay guy.
Well,
yeah.
And
he blamed the gays.
It turns out that they have a video of him in the gay bar.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
And it even gets even better.
No.
Our district attorney, who's a Republican, is being investigated by the Texas Rangers for investigating grand jury members that were investigating her.
Wow.
Okay? She has refused to investigate Michael Berry. And this got on the news yesterday, and now all of a sudden she's formed another investigation team, and now they're looking at him for the hit-and-run accident.
Oh, wow. Dear.
This is just so delicious. I can't.
Oh, dear.
I'll admit to running somebody over and driving away, but I don't like guys. I'm not into guys. Mm-hmm. No, that's
look
immoral.
What the homosexuals have done to me.
It's a different kind of hit-and-run.
Yeah.
Julie in Tacoma. Hi, Julie.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
This morning I'm reading in the paper about the two F-16s pulled over a plane down
yes.
there. They went into Obama's airspace.
Yes.
What must those guys have thought? They got busted for 40 pounds of pot by two F-16s? They must think that Obama's
they're like, dude, they're getting serious on the war on drugs. Dude, oh, my God. F-16s.
Oh, man, I must be really high. I thought I saw two F-16s. And
they must have laced this with something. Okay.
And again, pot's been in this country a lot longer than white people.
Yep.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World next as we continue with Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I think we can all totally agree that
Stephanie Miller
is totally fantastic.
Fame!
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I was just,
who wrote this song?
It's the new social media age. I was just bragging about Twitter followers. Roland, sexy liberal tour director. So we just passed 50,000 followers this morning.
Yay!
Yay! Follow me, won't you?
Wow. So sexy liberal is more popular than me on Twitter.
And bigger than Jesus or the Beatles, apparently.
We're bigger than Jesus.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Maria in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, I used to live in New Jersey years and years ago, and used to work for a car dealership. And I remember Whitney Houston, which I can only assume was her first car. And I took care of her paperwork, and she was just the most beautiful thing you could ever see.
Aw.
And it was just so sad. But, you know, it's like I told your screener, sometimes the choices you make laying down with the devil, sometimes it has consequences. And, you know, hooking up with Bobby Brown, I personally think that girl would have been here longer than what she was had she not ever met Bobby Brown. So thanks, Bobby Brown.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know some people feel that way, Maria, but I guess, you know, like my friend was saying, I mean, she chose the drugs ultimately, you know.
And after she left Bobby Brown.
And that's why I'm saying, you know, from what I remember, the person that I met, I mean, she was just, you know, this was when she had her really short hair and she was just coming out. And just gorgeous, just, you know, had the most beautiful voice. And I, from meeting her, I personally felt this girl is going places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I interviewed her, when she was, really bad.
Exactly.
She was great. She was funny. She was, you know.
Exactly. Well, exactly. But you make your choices, and that's why I'm saying it's not all on Bobby. But what I'm saying is, you know, when sometimes you make those choices and you involve yourself with people who do drugs, it's going to kill you, and it's going to rob you of all the potential you have. So
well,
that's
sure.
What I wanted to say.
All right.
But, thank you, honey.
She makes a good point.
You can blame exes.
Well, I respect
why not?
The need. You want to have a villain here. You want to have a bad guy here. But I think that we have to remember the bad guy is the disease. And the bad guy is the government system that demonizes addicts instead of getting them and makes them criminals instead of getting them the help they need.
Right. Yeah, see, Chris, I know what you're, because you've known me way too long.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, I never drank at all, and wine at all, until my ex got me into drinking wine, and now look at me. Now you got to pull me off a heated grate every morning. It's not my fault.
And you always still have the waffle print on the side of your face because of it.
Mm-hmm. Thank God. Robin in Beverly, Massachusetts had sent me an alarm clock because last week, oddly, not because of being on a heating grate, I was late to work because I set my alarm incorrectly.
I remember.
No, this was actually an insomnia-related problem because I wake up in the middle of the night, so I was doing my show prep, and so I reset my alarm. But I thought I actually reset the time instead of the alarm. So Rebecca called, and I was like, "Hi, Rebecca, what's going on?" She's like, "You're late!
You're late, bitch!"
Bitch. Well, she always ends every sentence with bitch. But
I love
like,
that
no,
woman.
It's
so
5:15. She's like, it's 6:15. Anyway, so Robin has sent me the most annoying alarm clock in the world. Can you see this on Ustream?
Can't possibly sleep through that.
Yeah, it's a, wow. It's, well,
that's pretty amazing.
It gets worse.
It's a Jamaican Hello Kitty.
Yeah, hang on. Oh, wake up.
Wake up. Or it could be nap off. I'm not quite sure.
Now, because we're working in the medium known as radio, people might not be able to know what you're holding up, but it is this. It looks like a Japanese child holding two lightsabers
in
a chef's hat.
It is like drugs. You have to go to the harder and harder one because my Burgess Meredith alarm clock has been working fine for years. But when you're in morning radio,
get up, you lazy son of a bitch! I said, wake up, you loser! You're going to eat lightning and crap thunder.
Let's see you.
Women weaken legs.
See you adapt, and now I need a stronger alarm because
My Burgess Meredith alarm clock is Burgess Meredith as the penguin from Batman. So it's like, wah, 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 wah.
I don't think that's
Harry Bemis. A duck sound, by the way. Penguins don't make that sound. Right.
I don't think
or
that's
Harry
true,
Bemis
people
of
say.
The Twilight Zone.
Yes.
There was so much time.
All right. Maybe I should make a Right Wing World
alarm
clock.
I'm still late
clock.
For work.
Okay. Let's see what lurks in the bowels of Right Wing World. Oh, okay. Yeah, this was the one I had mentioned earlier. Eric Bolling on
Hero, yeah.
Fox and Friends.
She points out that,
Maxine Waters.
If the Democrats take back the House and Barney Frank is going to retire, right, she's the senior-most member. She variably could be leadership in financial services.
Sure.
Who thinks that we should tax the bankers out of existence?
She definitely brings...
What is going on in California? What? How's this? The Congresswoman, you saw what happened to Whitney Houston. Step away from the crack pipe. Step away from the Xanax. Step away from the laser friend because it's going to get you in trouble.
Can you imagine?
Because she's black. How would she explain those kinds of things?
Can you imagine what would happen to him if he worked at a news station?
Yeah.
If he worked for a journalistic outfit, he'd be fired.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest lie in that statement is not about Whitney and the crack. It's about Maxine Waters wanting to tax the banks out of existence. You know, will these guys ever stop with the Stockholm Syndrome? Will they ever stop defending the people who abused our country?
Yeah. Okay. We talked to this is the, all the other thing they're left with. Just, you know, sheer, just like that, sheer blatant, awful racism. Or they just they just make up conspiracy theories that the job numbers aren't real.
Of course.
That the auto industry success is dead. Doesn't count. It's not whatever. Sarah Palin on Fox News.
The media is relaying these numbers that I do not believe are accurate when it comes to job creation. Mm. I still think that this is a jobless recovery that is affecting America right now.
I still think the world is flat. 8.3%
unemployment number is an indicator to President Obama and to his allies in the media to make it look like things are getting better.
The globe is designed to make it look like the world is round, but everyone knows we'd fall off.
And these facts,
they're
such tricky things, these facts.
Well, they have a liberal bias, clearly.
Yikes, it's just a number that the media is using to make them look better.
Yeah, you know another number? 750,000 jobs lost per month when Obama took over, and that didn't stop until the stimulus. It is the stimulus plan that stopped the Bush job hemorrhage.
Yeah, and we played that last week on Fox and Friends. They actually said they may be cooking the books on jobs data.
Well, what? Obama just went in his Kenyan time machine and went back to make it look like George Bush is doing a bad job on jobs.
Okay. Steve Doocy discredited GM success because it helped unions. Oh, dear God, forbid. Eric Bolling questioned the means of saving GM. He said, we usurped the competition. We usurped free market capitalism to do so.
Huh?
What?
Huh?
What is he talking about?
Yeah, I don't ask me. He said, I don't buy the argument we saved jobs because those jobs weren't going to go overseas anyway.
What?
There was just going to be another company, maybe not called GM. It may have been called Ford, who did not take a dollar in bailout money. So, okay, even Ford, if you remember at the time, worried that the entire auto industry would implode if GM were allowed to fail.
Yes.
So he's convinced that somehow Ford would have hired every person that, what? they're just twisting themselves into pretzels.
You know what? They don't have to work that hard to lie because their supporters are going to believe whatever they say anyway.
It's Obama derangement syndrome.
By the way, did you see what Romney said? He's like, so now he's trying to win.
What he tried to unsay?
He's trying to win in Michigan. He was clearly against the auto bailout. Why we should let Detroit go bankrupt.
He wrote an op-ed saying, let Detroit go bankrupt, and now he's writing a new op-ed saying, well, here's why I was still right.
Yeah, he said, no, that's really what they did, what I said. They did what I said. Yeah.
I love the auto industry. I want to see it thrive and grow. I'm glad it went through a managed bankruptcy process, which I recommended from the very beginning, to shed unnecessary costs and get its footing again. I'm delighted it's profitable. In my view, this auto industry can continue to lead the world must continue to lead the world to keep Detroit with a vibrant and prosperous future.
I love the auto industry. I love autos. I love industry. I love America.
I said yesterday, John,
I love country music.
He called himself a son of Detroit, and I said Eric and Lyle Menendez, son of Detroit. But
well,
are you kidding?
And you ain't the granddaddy of all liars.
It didn't go through a managed bankruptcy. It went through a rescue that the president is responsible for that you were against.
Exactly. And again, man, it's like socialism bails out capitalism again. Yeah. And it works.
I'm delighted they went through a managed bankruptcy. That's what I said to do. It's like, what?
I'm delighted those people were thrown out of their homes so we can move renters in.
Let's hurry.
Crack it, please.
All right. I got to hear it again. The Foster Freeze with Andrea Mitchell with a joke that killed at his country club in 1952.
This contraceptive thing, my gosh, it's such inexpensive. You know, back in my days, they used bare aspirin for contraceptives. The gals put it between their knees, and it wasn't that costly.
Excuse me, I'm just trying to catch my breath from that, Mr. Freeze, frankly.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I want you to hold it between your knees. Now get down to Don Draper's office and tell him to meet me in the conference room.
Wow, that was just breathtaking.
Yeah, that's the guy bankrolling the moral candidate.
Yeah.
Wow. And she's, Andrea Mitchell, if you saw the look on her face, I mean, that's, she's seen Alan Greenspan in a bathtub. So, you know what I'm saying?
It takes a lot to
this
shock her.
This is not it takes a woman with a...
You're mean.
It takes a lot to traumatize.
Y'all are mean.
Takes a train
Y'all
to
are
cry?
Mean.
What? No.
All right, Greg Gutfeld on the five.
Why should a federal taxpayer then have any of their money to go to do something that they consider is murder? I think that's just fundamentally wrong.
But the thing is, Bob is hitting on something where the left is making this about availability to the poor.
Right.
It's more about getting rid of the poor.
Yeah.
It's what?
It's more about getting rid of the poor.
He said it. Did you really just say that?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a bad point. Yeah.
I've said it before.
I don't.
Population
I
control.
Not,
the difference between the left and the right, the right want the poor to get rich, the left want the poor not to exist.
And the
What?
Wait a minute.
What?
Oh, God.
The right wants the poor to get rich, and that's why we've deliberately underfunded poor communities.
How is
so
contraception getting rid of the poor? I'm sorry, someone needs to explain to me.
Well, because they're saying that we hate people if we don't want poor people to suffer by having more children than they can have.
Oh.
And again, the Catholic Church is very guilty of this. This is Christopher Hitchens' biggest problem with Mother Teresa. When you go to poor people and say your suffering is a gift from God and you can't be
that's
devout
what I
unless
mean.
You're
if you,
pumping them out.
If you didn't have contraception, you would have more poor people. Okay, I don't.
Exactly.
You know what? I my eye hurts. I don't want to talk. Brian, don't explain it to me anymore. Brian Fisher on American Family Radio?
Yeah.
Awesome.
If our national security is on the line, the defense of your children, your family, your grandchildren, when that's on the line, who do you want manning the howitzers? Mm. Who do you want manning the M16s? Mm. Who do you want manning the fighter planes? Do you want somebody who is characterized by sensitivity, warmth, and apprehension? That is somebody who's sensitive, who is warm, and who is easily spooked? Is that who you want?
What?
Defending your national
about,
security?
Democrats?
Women are not wired either by evolution or by God. Whoever's responsible for this difference, they are not prepared by DNA and innate personality characteristics to be in those positions.
Chicks can't handle it. Mm. I want to bring this guy with me to some of my military shows and let some female soldiers kick his white butt.
Mm. John, Oh, were you always sitting there? I'm sorry. I'm easily spooked. I'm so sorry. Don't sneak up on me like that. How many times have I told you?
You know, the Republican Party has lost the right to talk about the military ever. When George Bush ran in 2000, he did it saying military morale is at an all-time low. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember how military morale is at an all-time low because Bill Clinton and my daddy cut Pentagon spending?
Yeah.
And now look what George Bush has done to our military. Look at the amount of military suicides we have per day. Look at how Walter Reed Hospital was underfunded while these troops were underfunded, while the rich got a tax cut they didn't need, while this war was held off the books. How you can be a military family and respect the Republican Party after what they did.
Well, they sent them into Iraq without proper body armor and without...
Exactly. And look, I'm not a fan of drones. I'm not a fan of drone bombs. I'm not a fan of what... I love our president, but I'm not a fan of targeted assassinations of citizens. But when you look at this kind of warfare, this is... Like, it's working smarter, not harder.
Look at what the gays have done to the Army. That's what I'm
saying. Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
Once again, the gays and the chicks.
You know,
ruining everything.
I got to interview Wesley General
I'm doubling
Clark.
Down on ruining America.
Yeah.
I got to interview Wesley Clark on CNN last week, and I talked about Leon Panetta and how, you know, this new culture, a democratic culture in the Pentagon that the generals respect. Obama's done it better than Clinton ever did it. Mm. Clinton could never get the Pentagon to respect him. This guy's already done it.
Sean Hannity, to finish Right Wing World, there's only one way to gain respect in the world. That's blow up Iran.
I think there is no option, based on the time frame that Leon Panetta has mentioned. We now have leaders in the Soviet Union have mentioned this, that Iran is that close, as a news report today.
Yeah.
To getting a nuclear weapon. So it seems to me the logical thing to do would be to join Israel, take out those sites, which is going to be extraordinarily difficult based on their proximity, location, they're spread throughout the country, they're dug deep into the ground.
I love civilians saying, let's take them out.
Well, not chicks. Chicks don't have... They are.
No, they're easily spooked.
I'm too easily spooked to bomb Iran.
So we should kill hundreds of thousands of civilians in a country that has not attacked us.
Yes.
Oh, we did that already.
Let's put a real man.
Let's do it again.
Nicely played. 48 minutes.
Let's do it to all the I countries. Iceland, Italy, Ireland.
Why not? Just to make sure we get everything. All right. 48 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Doodle Saying on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I am a sucker for a shock jock.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Now I know it's true. Naughty girl,
it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, the 80s.
Fridays, the John Tittle thing.
I'm just here
hey,
to
listen,
get...
Listen, you were making a nice paycheck in the 80s, right? From a... From all your music VJing?
I was in high school in the 80s. No,
pardon me.
Yeah, no, but
Sorry, I was thinking of me.
It's great to be here with you guys in studio so I can hit on Rebecca Taylor and be scorned by her again in person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Folks, really, people pay good money for that.
People
feel the dripping hatred that I feel every day.
Some people
in.
Call 1-800-STEPH-12 just to be berated by your screener.
It's like Susie Essman. People actually come up to her and say, please insult me.
Yes. It's true. Yeah. It's true. She's the associate producer / dominatrix of the Stephanie Miller Show. Yes. Let's go to Angela in Phoenix. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Angela.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I love you, Mama.
Thank you, baby.
I just wanted to respond to the last caller that said that Bobby Brown was responsible for Whitney Houston. Mm-hmm. You know, I can understand her being frustrated. I loved Whitney Houston. I'm like... heartbroken, but you can't blame somebody else for someone's addiction. You know, she's an addict, and plain and simple, and it's really sad, but, you know, I can't go there. I can't blame other people for it. You know, I can.
Yeah. I just alternate blaming either my parents or, you know, exes.
Well, your parents is one thing. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or your parents, that kind of stuff, but not your
if it wasn't for displaced anger, I'd have to look within, and I can't do that. I'm an American.
Right?
I'll blame gays who want to marry before I blame myself. Thank you very much.
Wait a minute. You were in high school in the 1980s? What? How old am I? Yeah, I was talking about Whitney Houston with Lisa. And so, of course, you know, she was my age, and I interviewed her. And Lisa's like, oh, I loved her songs. My best friend Sharon, I used to sing them when we were seven. She was seven. Lisa was seven when her big
seven?
Hits came out. Yeah.
I got to do that math.
They used to have slumber parties in bed, her and her best friend, and they would sing Greatest Love of All and give each other arm tickles until they fell asleep. I'm like, that is the gayest thing I've ever heard.
I was seven when Revolver
You know what? She wasn't seven. She was over. She was...
She's 33 now. It was when Greatest Love of All came out. She was seven, I believe.
No, she wasn't.
Yes. Okay.
Don't believe that.
Okay.
I don't believe it.
Oh, and by the way, they both grew up to be gay. Who could have seen that coming? I don't know.
No.
Yep.
Are you allowed to say that? Wait, we've moved on from that little.
What?
Well, the Whitney Houston is gay thing I'd never heard of after she married Bobby Brown.
Well, but that's the point. A lot of people, that's what people were saying at the time, that they thought she may have to get rid of those rumors.
People forget that. You know, people forget that before Bobby Brown.
Well, Chris and Yankton said he'd never heard that, but he also said it took him a decade to realize the Pet Shop Boys were gay. So perhaps.
The Pet Shop Boys are gay?
What?
Oh, God. Next you'll tell me Truman Capote.
What?
An erasure.
Tainted love.
No, I'm just saying there was a lot of different... You know what I had never heard? It came up, I guess, in a Katie Couric interview back then, is that apparently she got took a lot of crap from the black community for being too white or, you know, her music
they
was too pop. And they booed her on Soul Train. And
wow.
So some people were saying, oh, that's why she married Bobby Brown. And who knows,
well,
right?
Well, folks forget how, you know, R&B just became really the whitest art form in the 80s. I mean, the synthesizer almost killed rock and R&B and country in the same decade.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just going to read this because Roland just sent it to me. I was on Young Turks a couple nights ago on Current.
I saw you there.
Somebody tweeted, Roland saw Stephanie on Young Turks. My better half wouldn't believe she's 50. Had to wiki it.
Uh-huh.
A Wikipedia. Anything could be on there.
Yes.
I have to have you scrub that clean every couple of days.
I haven't done it in years, though.
Just say I'm 30. There's no... All right. You know, we played the Foster Freeze. It was just... It's a thing of beauty. Mm-hmm. The whole women chicks need to keep their legs shut, Andrea. The bare aspirin between the knees.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
He's the frothy backer. Mm. It's
frothy
all
back.
So...
This weekend, Foster Freeze invites you and the kids to come out to Frothy Freeze and have a nice frothy burger or frothy chili dog. And for dessert, top it off with a frothy blizzard or a frothy sundae with nuts. After dinner, stop by next door for frothy paintball. We'll see you this weekend at Frothy Freeze.
Whee! Yay, kids!
I don't know if that's just really funny or I'm just really tired because I had to get up at 2 a.m. to come here.
My friend Jefferson would like to issue a correction.
Yes.
Only one Pet Shop Boy is gay.
Oh, pardon me. The Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize.
Well, only one so far.
Well, as far as we know.
Mm. Okay. Thank you for that.
What have I done to deserve this?
This whole discussion. 58 minutes after the hour. We continue. We got Celebrity Stack. We got much more Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on
sunshine. Oh, that's good fun. Comparing cat scratches. What's not fun about that?
That's what we're doing.
Can you see that, Ustream? My
Look
latest.
At that.
Cat injuries.
We're like the scene in Jaws on the boat.
Yeah, Jim's like, look at mine.
Mr. Hooper, I got this from a calico in 45.
I got this from a black and white on Thursday. Look at it.
1,800 men go into the wall, into the cat room. 25 men come out.
We're going to need a bigger cat box.
This cat swallow your whole, shaking, tenderizing, down you go.
I think that was the night Lisa and I decided we were drinking too much wine. All I remember was saying, honey, I don't think Oreo is enjoying. I don't think she thinks this is fun. Ow!
Oh, I am telling you all.
That's probably going to hurt tomorrow.
Y'all, sober up. Y'all Steph heads listening to this are my witnesses that when Steph finally starts watching My Cat from Hell, she's going to book the host of that on this show right away. That's just the best reality show.
Yeah, cats are like, you're right, Jim, you don't see them right away. They're just like, oh, that's just a little play. And then in the morning you wake up, oh my God.
2,500 years ago.
I got to get medevaced out of here.
The ancient Egyptians worshipped cats as God, and then they stopped, but no one told the cats. And that's the problem.
Yes.
But if you want conditional love, cats have tamed humans to let them keep boxes of their poop in the house. Like, they're the only animal to sucker humans that bad.
Oh, my God. I had to clean the cat. Lisa went out of town for a couple of days. I had to clean the cat box for the first time in my life.
Oh, you didn't.
And I didn't even understand what comes out and what stays in. I was like, "What? Ew! It's gross."
Well,
there's giant rocks.
First
and I'm
off,
like, and she's like, "Oh, that's the pee, and it forms rocks."
Do you use corn litter? You should only use.
I don't know.
Only use corn litter.
That was nasty.
World's best corn litter.
That was nasty.
It changes everything.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Trust me. All right.
Corn litter.
Yes, it's corn litter, and it.
Great.
It's
so then I have to go corn.
It's
when did they eat corn?
You can eat it if you
just
if
throw cobs in the box. When did I eat corn?
You can get litter. I'm trying to help you people hygienically. I gave up on all y'all. I'm going to go out and get some abuse from Rebecca.
Whee! SexyLiberal.com. Check it out. John Fugelsang, the sexiest of all liberals.
What's coming up, Steffi?
Yeah. Well, what? We got to go check the schedule. But, you know, we are particularly excited about... Oh, we somehow Sexy Liberal Facebook got more... was Aisha Tyler looking smashing in Fashion Week.
Mm-hmm.
And
she never does that.
See-through dress, and it somehow got onto Sexy Liberal, and tickets flying out the door for the Minneapolis.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour made Minneapolis one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her Sexy Liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
They call me Minnesota nice.
On May 12th, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, featuring movie, television, and radio personality John Fugelsang, actress, comedian, and co-host of The Talk, Aisha Tyler, and mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You're darn tootin'.
Come on and thrill me, mama.
Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota, join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sassiness.
Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chutzpah.
Yay!
Can I tell you something about yes? Minneapolis? That was I love Minneapolis, and you have a great affiliate there, and yes. I just had to play at the Blue State Ball, and they're yep. all wonderful, but that was when I knew this tour
Janet
was...
Janet Robert rocks the free world.
Janet Robert is so hot.
Yeah.
That's when I knew that this tour was a monster, was our Minneapolis show, because yeah. we had done Madison, we had done Syracuse and Durham, but it was
we're
Minneapolis.
Like, that had to be a fluke.
Minneapolis
those people
was
in Madison
the first
are
time
crazy.
We played like a giant palace, and it was Netroots Nation Week, and Congressman Keith Ellison came, and the show was so off the hook. I'm so thrilled to go back. I'm so delighted Aisha Tyler is going to be with us.
Yeah, we thought her just Madison so bitches are crazy. Turns out Minneapolis bitches be crazy, too.
The whole nation, baby. Yeah. The whole nation. Mm-hmm. Hate to warn you, but mm-hmm. being popular sucks, doesn't it?
No, it just so sucks to be me. Oh, look, it's another edition of Steph is Right, John is Wrong. Michael writes, Lisa is right. Greatest Love of All was released in 1986, 26 years ago. If Lisa is 33 now, she would have been 7 then. She was 7 and I was
7.
Really old then, and I'm even older now. And scene. Oh, by the way, speaking of Aisha Tyler being at Fashion Week, this only at Fashion Week did this happen. Socially keels over and dies in the middle of a fashion show.
Yes.
And they just had security remove her and they kept going.
Yep.
The models probably just stepped over her.
Wow. She was like 100 years old.
Zelda? No. Zelda Kaplan, the hard-partying 95-year-old socialite.
Yeah.
Who's been a fixture of the New York scene since the 60s, collapsed right in the middle of the fashion show at Lincoln Center.
I think it's awesome.
Just as the second model walked past her, she was later pronounced dead. They just cleared her carcass.
Great way
security.
To go. Great way to go.
Well, if your name's Zelda, you must be at least 95 years old.
Yeah. let's go to Stephanie in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I have to verify with John when he's coming with his one-man show to Madison, because I'm writing down stuff on my paper calendar.
I am so glad you asked about that.
My
drama league now when it's solo shows, you got to watch out, because a lot of solo shows are garbage, and you get dragged off to see these one-man shows, and it's someone having therapy on stage, or just doing a stand-up act and calling it theater, or just doing political propaganda. My show's all three of those things. Yeah, I'm a mess.
No, you're a sexy liberal, and Madison loves the sexy liberal show.
Well, thank you. We didn't
wait.
We love us in Madison. We'll be there in April. But, John, when is these?
We're going to be there at, we didn't put this on sale until we had sold out Madison with Sexy Liberal. It's going to be at the Barrymore Theater on May 11th. Tickets are on sale now. If any of y'all happen to see the NPR piece on my parents this week, that they ran, NPR ran a whole thing on, they did an interview with me about my mom and dad for their Valentine's Day special.
And I heard it was fabulous. Several people wrote to me.
It's a bit weepy, and the story I do is a bit weepy. It's not stand-up. It's very funny. It has a lot of horrible stories of my awful behavior in it. But we also, I'm happy to announce...
That's going to become my whole sexy liberal act. stories of your awful behavior on the road.
I think that we'll talk about that. But I'm happy to announce that we're going to put Seattle on sale. The Neptune Theater in Seattle for April 3rd goes on sale today. So we are bringing Guilt, a Love Story to...
In fact, even my big sister, Jim, wrote to me and said that she was crying. She loved this piece on NPR with John. And she said, I was bawling, and she actually spelled it B-A-L-L.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
And I copied John on it.
He said, your parents' story had me bawling.
John wrote back, well, thank you, Libby, but did you mean bawling? B-A-W. Because if not, I need to rethink my presentation. Mispronunciation and misspelling, I guess, runs in my family.
Well, that was hilarious. And
bad spellers of the world, untie!
And that story is it. That's at npr.org, and I was the number one story. My parents' story was the number one story on NPR for the whole day because of the headline they chose, and that caused a lot of controversy because the headline that NPR went with was a brother and sister get married, and their son years later their son tweets about it. So everyone thought it was going to be this salacious incest story. So most of the
comments
and yet
they wouldn't say sexy liberal because liberal's a dirty word.
And
is
I kept
that?
Saying like let's promote sexy liberal tour. I said we have the number one the first political comedy. I'll never go to number one, but God bless NPR. Like most of the media, they're not liberal. They're terrified of being called liberal.
Yeah.
So
they're afraid of a good fart joke.
They mentioned that I was working for the Rosie O'Donnell show. I mean, I was doing consulting work in Chicago for Rosie's new show.
I saw that. I'm like, he's in the number one comedy tour in the country.
And
what do you mean?
We got the number one comedy tour. They're mentioning that I was doing consulting for Rosie. God bless, but not the word.
And something you hosted like 20 years ago. What?
Because they were afraid to say the word liberal. But that's at npr.org. And it was very controversial to read all these NPR fans who were so either offended at the headline or offended that there was a headline like this that was so salacious on NPR?
There's a link on my Facebook page to hear that. In fact, I'm going to listen this weekend.
But Seattle, I want to see you guys on April 3rd at the Neptune Theater and Barrymore Theater in Madison on May 11th.
All right, that's enough John love. It's time for Jin love. Mm-hmm. Jill in Madison. Jim, it's for you.
Hello.
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Hi. Listen, could I have some love music, please? Go.
I'm so glad that you came in late last week or whenever, because I heard myself on the radio and I was giggling and thrilled, and I called in again, and yes. First I started gushing over John, and then I started gushing over Jim.
Yes.
And then later I thought to myself, I didn't know I had a crush on Jim. I think I have a crush on Jim.
Oh, wow.
Oh, hello. I have a crush everyone on Jim. Does.
Guys have crushes. Straight guys have crushes on Jim.
Where are you? I'll be over there in 5 minutes.
All right. Thank you, Jill.
Wait, go ahead.
Yes.
And really, I am sexually confused.
Awesome.
And also, Stephanie, my husband is 14 years younger, so all those people, just leave her alone.
Yeah, leave me alone. You're lucky. I'm warm for you.
Okay. But listen, I think that Mitt Romney could use Julia Roberts' long legs around him and help him with his bane problem.
What?
You know, wasn't that like a Pretty Woman? Didn't he do the same thing, cut up companies?
Oh, that's right. Yes, the Richard Gere character. Yes.
Yeah. And Rick Santorum definitely needs some sessions with Dr. Ruth. For sure.
If Julia Roberts did that to Mitt Romney, he would just laugh awkwardly like he does when anyone does anything. vaguely human.
Does this mean I have to take off the magic underwear? Oh, well,
I just read a story yesterday that somebody said something at a town hall, and Romney laughed awkwardly. He does everything awkwardly.
What he does.
That seemed like a human moment. And then rich guy horse laugh.
It's terribly sad. And I want to feel bad for Mitt Romney. I want to stand up for him because I respect awkward and lame white guys. That's my people.
Sure.
But then he just opens his mouth and lies.
Yeah.
More profit means more jobs and a brighter future.
What?
We don't want to depress profit in America. We want it to grow so we can put more people to work.
What?
I was shocked at how little understanding there is of what you do.
Like under the Bush years. Like in the Bush years, right? Mm-hmm. Let's do what Bush did and call it something different.
You destroy companies and put people out of work and profit by it.
You're a locust.
Yeah, he is. He's Gordon Gekko meets the Richard Gere character in Pretty Woman.
But less likable.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
But, greed is good, my friends.
But with
no
sexuality at all. Okay.
I love this country, my friends. I love all country. I love country music.
Working as a lobbyist and working as an elected official is great, but in my view, it's more important to also have private sector experience.
Mm-hmm. By the way, he's on the big guy.
Right-wing hypocrite!
Like George Romney Bush's signs, private sector experience.
Yeah. Romney signs anti-porn pledge, ignores demand to return contribution from hardcore pornographer.
Awesome.
That would be
awesome.
Too consistent.
Well, hey, Utah is the number one consumption.
That's right.
Of porn.
Interesting that. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Yeah, we'll talk about the whole, baptizing of,
We will.
Death did Holocaust. Cost victims.
Whatever.
Stuff like that. Okay, as we continue 17 minutes after the hour with my personal comedy Jesus on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I don't like it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Fridays with sexy little John Fugel saying,
what I like about you, you don't give much of a fight. Yeah.
Cindy in Phoenix, who wants to mention the Phoenix Sexy Liberal Show, which we're not supposed to mention anymore on February 25th because it's been sold out for a long time. It's pissing people off.
Time.
Hi, Cindy in Phoenix.
Hi, I've got the countdown on my cell phone. 4 days till Steph, 3 days till Steph, 2 days till Steph. And since the Sexy Liberal Show is sold out, that automatically means John Fugelsang must come to Phoenix. He has to for his single show. And you guys, this is better than Santa Claus. I'm so excited.
February 25th, next Saturday, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm very excited. I'd love to bring it there. It's nice. I'm really thrilled to just be bringing, solo theater on the road to morally compensate for the Sexy Liberal Tour.
Exactly. To make up for the debauchery
I owe karma after this. I owe karma.
You're doing, I don't know how much you can talk about, but it's hilarious about the...
a lot of people don't know this, but
the Mormons baptizing...
We've been hearing a lot about how the Mormons and Mitt Romney has said that he did this himself.
He said, but not recently.
Not recently. It's a long time ago that they baptized. Now, here's the thing about baptism, okay? And I'm sure that our listeners, religious and alike, will agree with me on this. Most baptisms aren't voluntary. If you're a born-again or you're an adult who converts and you decide to get baptized, that's dynamite. But most babies, they don't sign up to be baptized. It's just like circumcision. I'm sure I tried to protest in my own way.
Sure.
But that's the thing. If you're baptized as a baby, you have the rest of your life to drop it if you choose and not be part of that faith. So I don't mind it that much. But if you've made it to the point of death and not converted to Mormonism, it's a pretty good sign you didn't want to be Mormon.
You really
Mormon.
Didn't want to.
Didn't want to be Mormon.
Yeah.
So what the church does is they have been baptizing posthumously people up into the Mormon church because their belief is you will only be allowed into the highest echelon of heaven if you're a Mormon.
They're helpers.
So I learned this from your friend and mine, the wonderful, beautiful, now the host of her own show on Sirius, Kelly Carlin, daughter of George, because they baptized George Carlin after he dies and made him a Mormon.
Oh,
and
boy.
Kelly told me this. I couldn't believe it. And Mitt Romney's admitted he did it for his own father-in-law, who was not Mormon. And now we know, as of this week, the outcry, that the Mormon Church has been baptizing dead Holocaust victims.
Yes. Yeah.
And making them Mormon, and which is an insult to Judaism. It's an insult to the Holocaust. It's an insult to God. So I just want to announce, and there'll be more coming up with this in the future, as y'all know, I belong to a neo-pagan satanic cult. And what we're now doing, because we care so much and want to spread our values, we are baptizing dead Mormons into our satanic cult.
Awesome.
But because I'm a romantic, we're also gay marrying them.
I want to announce
here that
Did you charge extra for that?
No, it's completely free because we care so much about their souls.
Good.
And my values dictate that I'm going to baptize Mitt Romney's late father into the satanic cult and also gay marry him to Karl Marx. And I'm going to group gay marry him to Karl Marx and Paul Lind.
We are such helpers.
Wow. Really beautiful. So there'll be more about this coming up in the future because it is a serious plan. But I want to thank the Mormons for teaching me that it's morally acceptable to spread your values on dead people.
Romney.
Romney. Not recently is my favorite Romney response yet. Because, you know, somebody asked me, did I shoot a man in Reno once just to watch him die? Yes. But not recently.
Not recently.
It was a little outside of Reno.
Please.
That was proper.
And he had it coming.
I was in my 50s, thank you. Just a crazy kid with a dream.
Joe in Seattle. Hi, Joe.
I have a cheap and an effective insomnia cure. I think it's as cheap and effective as the Foster Freeze method of birth control.
Yes.
First, you get into your hoodie-footy PJs. Second, you get into your nice warm bed.
Yes.
Third, you start reading a copy of Atlas Shrugged. You'll be out in 15 minutes.
See what he did there? Atlas
snored.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, Foster Freeze has apologized for his joke.
He has.
And he noted that his wife did not like it either. Yes. So.
But does he stand by Rick Santorum's belief that states should have the right to ban contraception? That's what I want to hear.
I don't.
Waiting for that tough follow-up question.
I don't know. All right. Dwayne in Jackson, Mississippi. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dwayne.
Good morning, Stephanie. I love your show. I've been listening to you every day for the last 6 months.
Thank you.
Oh, what a man.
And I just wanted to comment. You know, you were talking earlier about Whitney Houston and whether people thought she wasn't black enough. The problem I think a lot of people had was the way that Arista promoted her when her first album came out. She came to Jackson, and the R&B station had access where it could talk to an engineer, but the R&B station didn't. Mm-hmm. And that was a pattern that continued throughout the country. And people was like, she's from our community with a beautiful voice, and we don't have access to her. Why? What's the problem? I think over the years.
But when you say that she was caught up in how the business was run in the 80s. I mean, when you look at how R&B artists and soul singers were marketed in the 80s, Whitney Houston was just part in a larger cultural trend.
Right. Yeah, but also on the other side though, you look at a guy like Luther Vandross. He was strictly a soul artist, and he didn't cross over until many years later.
Yep.
And so it was just a strange thing. But I think the main problem was the way that Clive Davis chose to market her created a lot of problems in the black community because of that.
Interesting. All right, Dwayne. Thank you.
But having said that, it wasn't white people who made Waiting to Exhale the number one movie in America. You know what I mean? Like Whitney Houston.
That was the 90s.
It was people that enjoy throwing their ex's clothes out of the windows.
If you remember in the
80s. Who isn't that? All of us.
If you remember in the 80s, radio was very different. There were black stations. There were white stations. And you didn't hear songs on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changed in the 90s with the hip-hop revolution.
That's very true. But, Whitney.
I think you're right. I'm pretty sure that's why I got fired.
You're fired.
Yes. We're going a little more urban. You're a little too old and white now. Goodbye.
You're fired.
Yes. All right. Wow. We've, you know what? There's been a lot of crack. This morning's show has been crack talk.
A lot of crack talk.
To some degree.
A lot of crack talk.
A Western Pennsylvania man is jailed on drug charges because police say something other than a confession came out of his mouth when he was hit with a stun gun. They say he was mumbling before he struggled with police, only to have 23 individually wrapped pieces of crack cocaine fall out of his mouth.
Oops.
I'm sorry, you say what? You were Dr.
Furrier? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Landshark? What did you say?
Dr. Furrier.
Oh, you said I have 23 chiclets of crack in your mouth.
You could always legalize it, regulate it, tax the hell out of it, not have these problems, but no. Let's keep locking people up for it.
29 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with People Saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, we really should have spaced out your vaccinations.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, boy. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere now, even from your iPad with GoToMyPC. Free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on that there. Try free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie.
Do it.
1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, Beth in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I am calling about something Mitt Romney said yesterday.
Oh,
he probably said it many times, but I heard it yesterday about how you have to work in the private sector to understand jobs and life,
sure.
et cetera.
Mm. And how to ship them overseas. And
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this was on the day. I live in Alexandria, Virginia, and yesterday we had a funeral here for a paramedic who had died from injuries he suffered in responding to an accident. And I'm thinking, Mitt Romney should be so lucky to be as good as this man and all the other government employees who protect our streets, respond to fires, fight in the wars overseas,
yeah.
you know, examine drugs to see if they're safe for people,
mm-hmm.
watch out for our environment. Oh, it really got my goat.
Yep,
we the
yep,
people.
I hear you. Yeah. By the way, the headline is Mitt versus Michigan GOPers on labor. The endorsements of Michigan's top Republicans falling to Mitt Romney despite an uncomfortable divide over a key issue, labor. This really is a forced march to Mitt them. On Thursday, Governor Rick Snyder, the wildly unpopular Rick Snyder, threw mm-hmm. his weight behind Romney ahead of the state's primary February 28th. But Snyder and the GOP candidate diverge over Romney's support for right-to-work policies that the presidential candidate has made a central theme of his campaign. Snyder is against right-to-work laws that forbid mandatory union membership in the state, you know, where the labor movement was
yeah.
born, obviously. Snyder's endorsement of Romney was less than full-throated. He didn't mention Romney's position on union legislation or the auto industry bailout, which Romney opposed.
That's funny. Is Mitt Romney
but Romney has doubled down in his attack on labor, taking after Rick Santorum, who is leading in a new Detroit News poll, as a friend of big labor, which I guess is the worst thing you can call somebody. As a Pennsylvania senator, Santorum voted against a proposed federal right-to-work law. So, I mean...
They're insane.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't want to win.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Obama up in the polls despite pessimism. A slate of recent national and battleground state polls show the consequences of the president heading into his reelection campaign well ahead of where he was even a few months ago. The pollster said some positives here for the president. So much depends on the trajectory of the economy over the next several months. This one, a Pew poll.
Pew.
Obama at 52%, beating his closest competitor, Romney, by 8 points. He's back around 50%, which is an important benchmark for presidents. Obama does even better when matched up against the other Republican hopefuls in the race.
And on CNN, they're reporting about the Dow, and you can see on the graph how it spiked
yeah.
and kicked
yep.
upwards.
By the way, he would beat Newt Gingrich 54% to 36%. Is it too late to go, Newt, he beat him by a lot more than that. Newt, yeah, well, that's, you know.
He beat him by triple digits.
I'm just saying. Come on, Newtie. Well, it's time for a comeback. Let's go.
This thing has had a wild rhythm. It resembles riding Space Mountain at Disney. I've been the front runner twice. I suspect I'll be the front runner again in a few weeks.
I suspect I'll be leaving on the far side of the moon in a few weeks.
Oh, Newt, we could have had something beautiful.
Didn't we almost have it all?
Didn't we almost have it all? Okay. Don't make me cry again.
What?
All right. I'm having an emotional week over Whitney. All right, Rick Santorum.
Another candidate in this race who suggested that he didn't care about the very poor. He cared about the 95%. How about a candidate who cares about 100%? Mm. Who cares about everybody and gives them the opportunity to be able to rise in society?
Yeah, let's have a frothy freeze,
and
everybody.
Have the opportunity not to get birth control.
Let's do what Bush did. Let's just do what Bush did and call it something else. Vote for me.
Wow. He does his own taxes. That's one thing we learned this week.
I do my own taxes. Heck, Romney paid half the tax rate I did. So obviously he doesn't do his own taxes. Maybe I should hire an accountant in the future.
And there's the schism, and there's where Santorum can become interesting, because Santorum paid 28% of his taxes, and that's as a millionaire.
Made a million, yep.
Because Santorum is a lobbyist and has been a lobbyist. In the 80s, before he was a senator, he was a lobbyist for what? Pro wrestling. And this homophobe who...
It's kind of gay, isn't it?
Homophobe who supports these anabolically enhanced men oiled up in little bikini panties wrestling.
Let me oil you down a little bit before you go in the
But he's a lobbyist, and he gave...
But not in a gay way.
He paid twice as much in taxes as
that would be the...
And his charity donations were considerable, and in my opinion, much more significant than Mitt's, because Mitt's charity, when Mitt brags about his charity, it's
going
mostly
to
the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm. I have a dream today.
Which is his tithing, which he's obliged
to. Frothy becomes the candidate, and then there is a huge gay sex scandal right before the general election.
Then he could really ask his daughter why the long face.
If Santorum really was gay, he wouldn't be wearing those tacky sweater vests.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true. Rick Santorum.
There is income inequality in America. There always has been. And hopefully, and I do say that, there always will be. Why? Because people rise to different levels of success based on what they contribute to society and to the marketplace. Sure. And that's as it should be.
It should be.
And that's why we have to stop saying income equality and start saying uneven income growth. Because you look at the last 30 years, and there's always going to be income equality.
We
absolutely
need poor people. Who's going to clean our toilets?
It's uneven income growth when you look at how much rich the richer have gotten versus how little the poor and middle class have advanced in the last 30 years.
Here he is explaining how losing by a landslide in his last election was really winning. Duh.
It's a real great opportunity to get a whole bunch of different different life experiences in the private sector, and I think that's made me a better candidate coming forward here for president.
Yeah, me too. Getting fired the last time I had allowed me to have a whole variety of life experiences.
Hey, help Nixon.
For 2 years, I had a whole variety of experiences that did not involve working, and wow, was that fun. That was a party.
Help Nixon, man. Nixon lost twice and then got to be president.
Yeah, it's true.
You won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore. Oh, looks like you will.
Grace in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steffi.
Hello.
I promise if I am about to swear, I'll bleep myself.
Okay, good.
I just want these Republicans to stay out of my vagina. I'm tired of them telling me what to do with it.
Yeah.
I grew this thing myself.
Yeah. From a kitten.
Mohawk.
Sure.
From a kitten, yes.
Yes.
I want a mohawk, a landing strip, a smiley face, a jack-o'-lantern.
You're working dirty now, you know. For heaven's sakes, as my mother would say, why do you have to be so blue?
Jack-o'-lantern, huh? Wow, that's
Stuffy.
Ambitious.
Would you get out of my vagina, please?
Edna in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Edna.
Hi, guys. I can't wait to go to the sex liberal comedy tour for my first time on March 3rd.
We can't wait to have you in Chicago.
Yes.
Cannot wait. Hey, so I'm a little bit of a history buff, and when Foster Friess made his comment about Bayer aspirin, I thought maybe I'd look and see some other methods of birth control dating a little bit further back. And in 1778, Thomas Jefferson proposed a bill, I think it's called the Bill for Proportioning Crimes and Punishments, that would punish a man for rape by castration. So I thought that maybe if we're going to bring back Bayer aspirin, we should look a little further.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to hold a hearing on castration and not invite any men. That's what I'm going to do. Right after my hearing on balls. Hi, Arnold in North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What has happened to this show?
I'm here to tell you right now, Stephanie. I'm here to tell you, that gal Stephanie had listened to the Frosted Freeze back in the day, she wouldn't have had the mooks, and I wouldn't have had this phrase stuck in my head. It's huge, huge, I tell you. Huge.
We only call her Mama figuratively.
Said, no, it ain't huge.
All right, thank you. I don't know what that was all about.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, what I'm talking about is Democratic women boycott House contraception hearing after Republicans prevent women from testifying.
As well they should.
As at the hearing.
Yeah, go get me some coffee, doll face.
It
you know,
giggles.
I like it.
Jim lets me get his pad every morning.
Hey, Jiggles, grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Oh, you get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
Okay. Let's see. So, car thief and insurance defrauder.
Yeah.
Steroid user, allegedly.
Schwarzenegger enabler.
He was preventing women from testifying. So Elijah Cummings, along with the Democratic women on the panel, demanded ISA consider the testimony of a female college student. The congressman insisted the hearing should focus on the rule's alleged infringement on religious liberty, not contraception coverage, and denied the request. So Carolyn Maloney, Eleanor Holmes Norton walked out of the hearing in protest. Daryl ISA yesterday.
Today's hearing is a solemn one. It involves freedom of conscience.
Oh, I see.
The freedom to tell chicks what to do.
He dismissed the Democrats' women witness as a college student who doesn't have the appropriate credentials to testify before his committee. Yeah, because it also might have been awkward because she wanted to talk about how she has to use contraception for other purposes, like endometriosis or what I can't remember.
Blah, blah, blah. I can't hear you. Shut up.
Yeah. Exactly. And again, this is a labor law issue, and this is also an issue about our health care system. And this is a reason why other countries are not ever trying to drop their health care system, the health care system we have now, because they have single payer, they have government insurance, it works, they don't have employer funded insurance, which is causing all these problems.
And it's an opportunity to hear Nancy Pelosi say, duh.
Right now, as we gather here in another part of the Capitol, there is a hearing. Five men are testifying on women's health. My colleague, Carolyn Maloney of New York, who is on the committee, looked down at this panel from which a woman who was the Democratic witness was excluded and said, where are the women? And that's a good question for the whole debate. Where are the women? Where the women on that panel, imagine they're having a panel on women's health and they don't have any women on the panel. Duh.
Yeah, they're getting me my coffee and they're making themselves look pretty for me.
Where are the women has been my mantra since I was 14, by the way.
No. All right. We did the polling earlier. What was it, John? It's overwhelming, the support of the president on this contraception. It's like 66%.
Let me tell you, man, it's the shrewdest thing Obama's done politically in ages.
Except on Fox News, of course. Fox has been working hard to manufacture tension between religious groups and President Obama over the administration's rule providing access to birth control insurance. However, following the White House announcements of the accommodation, obviously Catholic hospitals, colleges, charities came out in support of the president on the birth control compromise. A wide range of Catholic, evangelical, and mainline faith leaders also agreed with the birth control rule, as do the Leadership Conference of Women's Religious Sisters of Mercy, blah, yada, yada, yada. So Fox, with the help of the Republican Party, still making the same arguments. In order to do so, Fox and the GOP are pretending there's no religious support for Obama's birth control policy. I just watched a bunch of...
hilarious.
Freezes of, like, chirons on Fox. And it's like, this is all they have left. They have to manufacture a controversy that doesn't even, exist. Let's see. Well, who was it? Blah, blah, blah. They were covering the
ICE controversy hearings. That exists in such a small segment of the population who actually buys the Vatican's party line on contraception, which, again, is not supported in the Bible at all. Now, here's the thing. This Pope Benedict is against the Iraq War. The last Pope, John Paul II, was against the Iraq War. So I really want to hear Gingrich and Santorum talking about Bush Cheney's war on religion. The U.S. Council of Catholic Bishops is opposed to Arizona's racist immigration law. The Vatican believes that every society has a moral responsibility to provide health care for their poor residents, regardless of their ability to pay.
They just did a huge poll of Catholics to show they support.
And the Vatican is opposed to the death penalty. Okay, Rick Santorum defies the Vatican all the time, and I don't hear the mainstream media bringing this up ever.
Megyn Kelly plays a clip of the ISA hearings and says, you've got a lot of Catholics and other religious leaders who are still saying you didn't get it done, Mr. President.
Who?
What? Who?
Where?
I know.
Name one.
Yeah, exactly. Some, Jim.
Some people say.
Some. Exactly. What the fox? 47 minutes after the hour. Back with Celebrity Stack and the remaining moments of Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
too bad Hall & Oates couldn't write any hooks.
Oates, you've contributed nothing! Damn it, Oates!
It is the Stephanie Miller
Warren
Show.
Oates?
Oh, it's a skit about dissension between Hall and Oates.
Damn you, Oates!
You won't hear that anywhere else this morning.
If you're going to walk on eggshells, son, don't hop.
That was Warren Oates in... What was it, Blue?
Oh, my God.
What was it about
really?
Helicopter?
Are you trying to drive the last dozen viewers or listeners away?
We have gone off the rails once again. That was
that Warren Oates
really
quote?
Another edition of That's So Random. Not since the story about Shakira being attacked by a sea lion. Have we... Well, this just in, J-Lo attacked by wildebeest. What?
What?
That's so
I thought you divorced one.
What?
Yeah.
Ah, you see what you did there. Wee. Okay. Pat Buchanan out for good.
You're fired.
At MSNBC. He called the decision an undeniable victory for the blacklisters. To which Al Sharpton said, Black!
What are you talking about?
There you go. You put your face in the blueberry pie again.
The blueberry pie. I lean forward. I can't lean forward. MSNBC said I got to face the blueberry pie. And the pie's all over your face. Lean forward.
I'm going to miss the sizzling sexual chemistry between him and Rachel Maddow.
Let
I don't know
you
about
something.
You.
They made a big mistake, and I'm going to stand on Phil Griffin's coffee table and tell them they made a big mistake getting rid of Pat Buchanan, because I've always said that MSNBC has more real conservatives than Fox News does. Fox News has neocons.
Right.
And every time Pat Buchanan appears on MSNBC, he validates every point the left has to a T.
Yeah.
And he does it while being an intelligent, thoughtful guy. You know, I think Pat Buchanan is... I don't like Pat Buchanan. I think he's right about a few things as a real conservative. When he wrote a book called A Republican on an Empire, he articulated the entire Republican argument against George Bush. So he's not a dope, but he says a lot of bigoted things, and his book is full of offensive things, but then you shine a light on it. That's the best disinfectant. Having Pat Buchanan on the air
I enjoy
gets
when
Obama
he's
votes.
I know. I enjoy when he's on with Al Sharpton, because Al Sharpton's hair goes back to his
70s. Oh, you called the president
what?
Boy! Free boat ride! Are you kidding?
Mm. All right. Oh, look here, Chris. That caller called in earlier about the Houston right-wing talk show host.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I'm getting all the details here. Yes, it's a very bizarre story. He's a right-wing gay-bashing talk show host in Houston, and he was involved in a hit-and-run. Apparently, the owner of the car that got hit, but the complicating circumstances are the pub in question is a well-known gay bar.
Huh.
In the city, and the video camera appears to confirm he was inside the bar.
It's an easy mistake to make.
That means that karma just power-topped him.
He said on his... He said on his radio show that he can't talk about it, but listeners should trust there are two sides to every story.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes, particularly when you're on the
down low.
Yeah, there's two sides. There's the truth and what I'm going to tell you.
Two sides, top and bottom.
He went back on the air after that?
Apparently.
Wow.
There are two sides.
That takes
way both. Yeah. Lisa Chan, the actress in the infamous racist Pete Hoekstra ad against Debbie Stabenow. Did you see that? Oh,
yes.
Boy.
Debbie, spend it now.
She has a ticket to Facebook to apologize. She said, I was absolutely a mistake on my part and one that over time I hope can be forgiven.
Sorry.
I feel horrible about my participation. I'm determined to resolve my actions.
I didn't really talk
then
like that.
Then return the money.
Because I'm like from Berkeley.
Donate the money to Debbie Stabenow.
There you go.
Bada bing.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. By the way, Al Green crooned an Obama fundraiser in San Francisco. Because ever since the president sang his song, it rocketed back to the top of the sales chart, so we kind of owed him.
Oh, wow.
You know, the president. Yeah.
So in love with you.
So Newt Gingrich do that.
Where's the Romney singing? Where's Romney singing God Bless America?
The most handsome, romantic president ever. Oh, I love him. Okay.
Purple Mountains Majesty.
Oh, God. CNN and Larry King have cut ties.
What?
My old pal.
They have?
He did four specials for CNN in the last year. CNN said in a statement the network and King have mutually agreed to end the specials.
I like that really weird one of all the celebrities awkwardly having dinner together. With Conan and Shaq? I like that show.
I can't speak unbiasedly. I love the Lair.
I love
the Lair,
Larry King.
And I miss the Lair very much.
I love Larry King. Addis Ababa, hello. Let's talk about non sequiturs.
They had him
on. And floor wax.
They had him on for the Whitney Houston thing. And it's just, I was having flashbacks to the Michael Jackson. That's my favorite Larry King television ever. You remember? He had the... Who do you have on? Oh, Quincy Jones and Liza, and also just to hear Larry King in my lifetime say, "Dame Elizabeth Taylor tweets." And then he just read the tweet. It was awesome. And then, yeah, and then Liza was going insane. He was, oh, going? Larry's, oh, Larry's awful, oh, honey. Larry, I can't. And then he was like, Liza, stop talking over Quincy. I just,
it's just not the same without being able to go on CNN and doing no show prep.
Stop it. Paul McCartney stopped smoking pot to be a better parent.
Well, now,
boy, if I had to be a parent, I would have stopped. I think it would take a lot of pot, actually.
He stopped before.
Hmm.
He stopped for his last wife and then didn't stop anymore.
I'm just saying. I would need some sedation of some sort, I would think.
I'm not going to say anything.
All right.
You can discuss this topic.
Strangely quiet over there.
I'm going to sit this subject out while you talk about this.
Okay.
So you talked to Macker about this, obviously.
Exactly.
I have no comment whatsoever on this topic. I have had the pleasure of working with Paul McCartney. He is a terrific professional. He is a wonderful father. I have met three of his kids. I am
how about this?
Saying
Rihanna,
anything about this subject.
Rihanna invited Chris Brown to her birthday party.
Great. At least one of us still cares about what he did.
Oh, dear. Dear. All right.
Did she really?
Yes. I don't know.
She can get her better fella.
And then she was attacked by a narwhal. No, I'm mixing up.
All right.
I'm on the Young Turks tonight because I'm imitating you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And johnfugelslang.com, sexyliberal.com for all our upcoming dates. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Dolph.